much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I present to you the dynamic duo.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Yeah, I mean, it's addiction. How have you, how besides going, you know, the rehab path, I'm sure every day is a continuing process of, I don't think I'm a codependent, but I definitely have forms of, I have an addictive personality, I think, when it comes to substances. I've learned to cope with it. I actually have anxiety disorder, bad, and like, that's how I think I tend to turn to substances to kind of cope with that, but I find that exercise, like natural things like exercise, works, and yeah.
You're all morons!
And now, Kevin.
Yes. Obviously, Kevin.
Obviously.
Our feature presentation.
Can you imagine the person sitting across from Beer Mug listening to that? I mean, there's somebody in front of him that's supposed
to be
interviewed.
That person wasn't his therapist and isn't being paid to listen to that babble.
He's supposed to be answering questions, whoever it was.
Yes.
And yet that was going on. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBean Show. It is Thursday, the 19th of February.
What's crackleating, everybody?
You know, hanging and banging like we do.
Like we do indeed. Well, we got a big show today. A lot of stuff planned for you. I want to start with a story that I apologize in advance to Ralph Garman if you were excited about this one, because it does involve the mighty Green Lantern from DC Comics.
Uh-oh.
Green Lantern is in the news right now. Not enough details in this article. I know you'll find that hard to believe. Mm. But a 50-year-old Puerto Rican man recently discovered a Green Lantern costume. His name is Renato Garcia. He found it in a bag of donated clothes. Now, again, when I say not enough details, I don't know why he was on the receiving end of a bag of donated clothes. I don't know what his circumstances were, but he apparently took very much to the costume and started wearing it around full time.
Okay.
So he's 50. And he's going around his day doing whatever 50-year-olds in Puerto Rico do, dressed as the Green Lantern.
I love it. I love that guy.
Is that – it's hard to diagnose having so little information here. But is that just a free spirit who's just enjoying his life and just out there having fun and making the kids smile? Or is that a guy with mental illness and it sounds like he's going bye-bye to you?
I'm not positive. Could be
hard to tell, right?
Both or either.
Yeah. So several weeks go by, and he's running around all over Puerto Rico in his Green Lantern costume. Doesn't say he's fighting crime or anything like that, but that's what he's doing, and that's what he's enjoying. And then he gets ill. And after a brief illness, he has breathing difficulties, and he dies.
Oh, dear God.
Which is very sad. He's only 50. Respiratory issues, he passes away. The reason he's in the news is, his sister explained to the Associated Press, although she and her brother had never discussed funeral wishes, neighbors and friends suggested, hey, dress him up like the Green Lantern at the wake. And that's exactly what they did. And there are photos of Mr. Garcia's wake with him propped up in the corner of the room, dead as can be.
Propped up?
Yes, in a standing position, dressed as
weird.
The Green Lantern.
I don't want to walk into a room where the dead guy's standing up. Do you? I mean, that's one thing you can count on in this world. If you walk into a room and someone's dead, they're going to be laying down.
You would expect that, yes. Apparently, posing bodies at wakes and funerals is a familiar tradition in Puerto Rico. I didn't recall this, but apparently back just last year, a professional boxer named Christopher Rivera was stood up in the corner of a boxing ring dressed in his boxing gear at his wake after he died last year. I mean, look, there are lots of different traditions around the world, and apparently in Puerto Rico, they pose you. There are stories of people being posed at their wake on their motorcycle, for instance, you know, or sitting
That's
in their favorite
so
chair.
Weird.
But this is – I'll send you the picture, but this is a guy – I mean, it looks like a wake. There's flowers everywhere and curtains propped up, and he's in a Green Lantern suit with his hand over his heart propped up in the corner of the room wearing his little Green Lantern
That's
mask
and weird.
His outfit.
I don't like that.
I guess if they didn't talk, if the illness was sudden and they didn't discuss and they had no idea what the deceased would have liked, maybe they thought, well, you know what? He really enjoyed being in that Green Lantern suit, so maybe that's how he'll go out.
I can see why they did it, and maybe that would be his choice. I just don't want to go to that wake.
And have a dude standing in the corner dressed like a superhero?
Is that the guy? What?
It is. It's definitely different strokes for different folks, but I had not seen that one before, and I thought that was pretty interesting.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What?
It must be a nightmare to be a waiter or waitress.
I would think so.
Because
I couldn't do that work.
I would guess, you know, an average amount of people are probably neither good nor bad, right?
Yeah.
But there's got to be just terrible people. They just have
and
to
the
be
stories
horrific.
Of the $600 tip, those don't come along often
nope.
enough.
You get, the 1 cent tip, and you get people mm-hmm. who are demanding 4 ice cubes instead of 5. It just seems like people can be a-holes. So we're going to talk to waiters and waitresses about what kind
and
of
And I'm always surprised when people are a-holes because of the power that the waiter has over the food that you put in your mouth.
Yeah.
It seems like if there's ever a place in your daily life where you would be as polite as possible, it would be to the person who's bringing you food to eat.
There are people you do not want to make mad, and I would guess that would be them. But apparently people do. So we're going to talk about that on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We have a brand new internet roundup for you. We have a brand new What's Up with Florida. I don't know if you heard about the Krispy Kreme in the UK, but they had a Krispy Kreme club, all spelled with K's, mm-hmm. and they had no idea that KKK meant anything else, in the rest of the world. And so they had a KKK special, and an advertisement went out, and it was in the paper, and it was all KKK. And then people said, hey, you might
That seems like an honest mistake to me.
Me too. But can you imagine when they found out?
Yeah. Wait a minute. KKK means what?
Hey, you might want to change that. Jim Rome will talk sports with us, as we do on Thursdays. Also on Thursdays, we have Dr. Drew. We'll talk to him today. And also, we have Dean Winters in the studio. He's in a brand new show called Battle Creek that's coming. And it's a great show. So we're going to talk to him coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. Talk about it. Shouldn't talk about it. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Sorry, I didn't have your mic up yet.
Yeah, well,
So that's my bad.
We finished that song,
That's
man.
On me. You're right. Yeah. I'll take responsibility for that one.
That's on you?
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, I'm not a doctor. Are you, either of you guys a doctor?
I am.
Ralph.
You are a doctor.
What
good.
Do you need? Muggs
just pulled a...
I got a pad.
Muggs just pulled a nerve in his back, and I told him that
hold
I
on,
have a lot of experience.
He pulled a nerve in his back?
Yes,
do
he
that.
Did.
I don't think you can pull
the muscle.
You can pull a muscle and you can pinch a nerve. I don't think you can pull a nerve.
Oh, then he must have pinched a nerve. Maybe that's what he did. So he pinched a nerve.
Yeah.
So I told him, I said, what I've heard is the only way – I know that hurts a lot. I know that can be very painful. The only way to get over that and to forget about that is to just start punching your face, self in the face real hard. And that's the solution to that.
So more and pain someplace else so that
he doesn't you just start hitting yourself in the head and then you forget all about that back and stuff. And he's resistant to that approach. And I'm wondering what a doctor would say about that advice.
That's madness. That's insanity, your advice. It's ridiculous.
But it's for beer mug.
Well, I'm sorry. As a medical professional, I can't go along with that. What everyone knows that what he needs to do is to get himself a stapler and then drive staples into his temples on either side, side of his forehead. That's the solution.
I didn't realize that was it.
Yeah, it's acupressure or acupuncture. Get a knitting needle and just drive it through your ear until it comes out the other side. Then you'll feel much better.
Well, there'd be certainly nothing giving it any kind of resistance on the way through. I'll tell you that. All right, Dr. Garbin is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning at 5:54.
Gong He Fat Choy!
And to you as well.
Gong He Fat Choy!
What does that mean?
It means Happy New Year, Kevin. It's the Chinese New Year.
Gong He Fat Choy.
Okay. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. You know what year it is?
I don't.
Wow. Bean doesn't know something. Make a note. Someone write this down. Circle this date on the calendar. Because I was
trying to remember.
Of course it's 47-11. Because it's 7-11 at the end, and 4 is a nice smooth number, so I love 47-11. I figured it was to be some sort of thing wrapped up in the numbers.
I haven't heard. Now, I know the Jews are in the 5,000s.
That's so like them, isn't it?
I don't know
what that means either, but...
Well, when we do the Hanukkah is or whatever the calendar changes in the Jewish, it's always 5,200 and something or whatever. I'm having trouble remembering where we are in the Chinese calendar though.
4711.
That's for reals. 4711. Okay.
4711. Welcome to 4711. Of course, the year of the goat.
Sure, that we knew. Mm-hmm. You didn't ask.
Oh, I'm still writing horse on my checks. Yeah. So congratulations to all you folks born in the year of the goat.
So they have the year of the goat. So what do they do with goats? Is there any?
It's a party with the goats.
I mean,
man.
Is that a real thing? Or how does that? I need to do some research.
Put your hands on one of those kids. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Kid is another name for a young goat.
Kevin. Okay, good.
I mean, real kids.
Yeah. No.
Hey, this is the greatest story ever. Vanilla Ice was arrested yesterday for robbing a house. Come on!
Vanilla Ice.
He is a douchebag. Here's the thing. He's always been a douchebag. Then he was like a douchebag rap star, like faux rap star. And then everyone laughed at him and mocked him because he was a douchebag. And then he went away. And then he came back and sort of reinvented himself as a do-it-yourself douchebag. Sort of like a house renovator douchebag.
He had a TV show, right?
He still does.
Still does. Still does.
The Vanilla Ice Project on the DIY Network. And he was renovating a house on a block in South Florida, shooting his show. And when the show wrapped, he went down the street to a vacant home and started stealing stuff out of it. Furniture, a pool heater, bicycles, and other items from a vacant home. And then the police caught him and arrested him, charging him with burglary and grand theft and felony douchebaggery.
That's a felony now?
That's a felony now.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, there's misdemeanor douchebaggery and felony douchebaggery.
It's very likely that Vanilla Ice, who probably sold the bulk of his records over 20 years ago, probably doesn't have a lot of income coming in, right?
Right.
But he's got a TV show, so he's got...
He does have a TV
that.
Show.
You know what he doesn't need to do? Steal a pool heater.
No,
I'm guessing.
He doesn't.
What are you getting for that on the open market these days? A secondhand stolen pool heater. Is there a big pool heater fencing organization I don't know about? It's giving you top dollar for old pool heaters?
Aren't
pool
heaters
huge? I can't imagine that's
huge.
Worth the risk.
They are big.
How do you steal a pool heater?
With a dolly.
That's crazy.
A furniture dolly, I'm guessing.
If that was the show on the DIY Network, where he would go into one house and steal it and then furnish the other one.
See?
I'd watch.
That's clever.
Yep.
You're a genius, Kevin.
I would watch that.
You should pitch that. All right, here's my idea. A guy renovates house using only things he can steal from other people's houses.
That'd be awesome.
He's the DIY bandit. Coming this season on the Home and Garden Network. What do you think the most powerful brand in the world is?
Coca-Cola?
Nope.
Budweiser?
Not even in the top 10, by the
way.
Holy crap.
Are you kidding? Coca-Cola is not in the top 10.
Nope.
Budweiser?
Nope.
And by powerful, you mean a brand that is recognized by the most people or respected by the most people or what?
Yeah, this is the world's most powerful brand in terms of familiarity. Here's what the index is measures, okay? This is by a research company called Brand Finance, and they have a strength index, they call it, which measures familiarity, loyalty, promotion, staff satisfaction, people who work there, and corporate reputation.
Okay.
So this is not only amongst consumers, but also the people who work for them and the reputation of the company for being a high-quality company. This is across the board. These are the qualities that this index measures.
All right. First of all, I thought Kevin's guess Coca-Cola was excellent.
It was an excellent guess. However, it could not have been more wrong.
Not in the top 10.
Not in the top 10.
I am going to throw out a name of a company that I do not think will be number one, but I believe will be in the top 10, and that is Apple.
Not in the top 10.
I give you Disney.
Not in the top 10.
Come on! What's happening?
I'm telling you, it's crazy. This list is crazy.
How about McDonald's?
Not in the top 10. Now, these
McDonald's
are worldwide. These
not
are worldwide,
in the top
by this. This isn't just America. This is worldwide.
Well, McDonald's is a worldwide company.
I know, but I think it has a bigger impact in America than perhaps it does in Italy, for
example.
How
have we not named one of the top 10 yet?
Because you're horrible people.
Google.
Not in the top 10.
Facebook.
Not in the top 10.
There's we're out. We've given you
Vanilla Ice.
Hey, surprisingly, he stole number four. Here's your top. Shut up. I'm done with you now.
Okay,
you're horrible guessing.
We tried.
We don't have
those were
time.
Good guesses.
We did waste enough of your time.
Yes. Okay. Here's your top 10.
We didn't name any cars. Is it like Chevrolet or Toyota or something?
The 10th is a car. But it's not any of your BS.
Bugatti?
All right, back
to Bugatti.
Not Bugatti.
2.2 million?
Ferrari.
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 Okay.
10th.
All right.
9th, Nike.
How do we not get Nike?
Because you're dumb.
Yeah.
Number 8, Rolex.
But again, you talk about it's worldwide. People in India have got to know McDonald's before they know. Well, maybe McDonald's is a bad choice in India. I'm just saying.
They're eating more Rolexes than they are cows. Trust
me. Average person on the street isn't intersecting with Ferrari and Rolex, though, like they would be with, you know, some of the other things.
What do you want him to do? This is not his study.
Do you want me to?
I don't like it.
Call up Brand Finance and write a strongly worded letter about how much I hate Journey?
I don't know.
Where are we now?
Number seven.
Seven.
Burberry.
Clothing?
Clothing, yeah.
Okay.
Six, L'Oreal Cosmetics.
You're right, B. This is mostly all higher-end stuff.
Yeah, fancy people.
All right.
Five, Unilever.
Never heard of it.
They are a huge soap and personal hygiene company.
Okay.
I don't have their list of their quality, but if I named off a dozen soaps.
Oh, I would know them all. Okay.
All dozen of them would be made by Unilever. They're an enormous conglomerate, the corporate entity. McKinsey.
Never heard of it.
I don't know who they are either.
Wow.
But they're fourth. Red Bull. Third, Red Bull.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Number two, PwC.
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 I don't know what PwC is.
They are the people's wrestling champions.
I don't think that's it.
I don't know.
Do we know what that is?
I don't know.
Hold on a sec. Let me see what PwC is.
Somebody punch up PwC.
PwC, Price Waterhouse Coopers.
Oh, there you go.
That's what they
are. Is that accounting?
They're the accounting juggernaut. Yes, biggest accounting firm in the world.
The world's second largest professional services network.
Professional services network.
Wow, that's a list. We could have been here all day guessing on that list, and we wouldn't come up with most of those.
I know, crazy, isn't it? Number one. Anyone guess number one?
Well, clearly we can't guess number 50. We can't come up with number one.
I don't think you'll be surprised when you hear it. You'll be like, oh, yeah.
Oh, we should have got it? Yeah.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have got it, but when you'll say, oh, yeah, I can see why that's so recognizable and beloved and is number one.
Paul, the King of Big Screens.
Yes. Paul, the King of Big Screens.
It's an excellent guess, Kevin.
All right, what is it?
Lego.
Lego.
Of course, with their juggernaut feature film, they made the massive hit, as well as their long-standing success in the toy industry. Lego is number one.
I would have put all the money in my wallet on Coca-Cola being on that list, man.
Ooh.
That's a shocker.
What do you do with those four singles? Today's celebrity birthdays, Jeff Daniels, one of my favorite actors. Boy, that newsroom was great, and he was great on it.
It was.
Whew, 60 years old today. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is 56.
He does good work, that guy, huh?
He's got some challenges.
Who's with me?
Seal, the singer, is 52. Benicio del Toro is 48. Haley Duff, sister of that other Duff girl, is
Hillary.
30 years. Hillary is 30 years old today. Actress Ariel Keble. I don't know anything about her.
I don't either.
I'm just guessing. Okay. Ariel's a hot name. So
yeah,
that's a good guess.
If King Mexico puts 30. Her on the list, she's probably all right.
And just barely 20, probably.
She's 30. Victoria Justice. Now, that's for sure bellworthy right there. She is 22 years old today. And our buddy here at K-Rock, Marketing Director Aisa, celebrates her birthday.
She's the best, and she's crazy.
She is insane. She loves 50 Shades of Grey and Hello Kitty. And she likes to tie up her Hello Kitty, I think, and have sex with it, I'm pretty sure. And Twilight. She's weird in that way.
She's like a child.
She's like a 12-year-old girl.
Yes, she is.
But she's also really good at her job.
That's why she works here.
Maybe she's 12. There's no age next to her name here.
To be
I don't
12
know.
Maybe to work
she
here.
Be 12. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm glad Muggs is here because you know how everybody has that friend who says, oh, every time I go to Vegas, I win, man.
Yep.
And you know that it's not possible
if
that every time you go to Vegas, you win.
If somebody says that, they know less about gambling than most people.
That's
because
right.
It's just not possible to win every time you go.
It's just not possible. And I'll also say this. If every time you went to Las Vegas you won, you would live in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Why would you ever leave if every time you go, it's literally just they rain cash down on you, right? So that's how you know those people are BSing. Beer Mug has a version of that, which is, I can't lose. When it comes to gambling on sports, I win all the time.
Right. And so, okay, so automatically that's not true. It just isn't. It's just not true. By the way, we were here with you when your life was being threatened by Johnny Knuckles or whatever his name was. He was going to break your knees and you were in all kinds of debt.
Yeah.
But when you tell a story about gambling, there are a lot of problems. Here's the thing. When you tell a story about gambling, it needs to include the ending.
Yeah.
So yesterday in the office, we were talking about the Guy's Night Out. that we had at the Bicycle Casino. And Beer Mind went, I'm up $300. And everybody was like, you won $300? And he goes, well, no, I mean, I was up $300. And we said, well, how did you, when you walked out of the casino, what did you have? 50?
Look, if I would have walked away at 300 up, I would have won. I would have been up. But well, I didn't.
Of course. Right. And if you would have picked the numbers for the Powerball that were pulled, you would have won.
That's 100. That's one in 175 million chances.
No, but,
odds.
But what we're saying is, did you walk out? Then that's not a part of your story.
No.
You can't tell a story.
You don't get credit for being up if you lose. Look, if you're in any sport, by the way, you like to bet on sports. In any sport, if the Clippers are up by 20 at one point but still end up losing the game, all that matters is they lost the game. They don't get any credit for being up in the third quarter.
They don't go, we were up 20 points in the third quarter.
Speaking of sports.
Isn't it the same with you, though, Muggs?
Well, look, I have not had a good track record when it comes to sports betting.
Now, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on right there. Bean, who gives people more advice on sports betting?
No one more than Beer Mug.
But I found a way that is 97% successful.
97%? Because that's what sports betting is famous
for. I'm going to say this is 97% not true.
Well,
how much are you winning with this almost foolproof method of gambling on sports?
Thousands of dollars.
For reals.
For reals.
See, this is another one of the stories, Bean, where we're going to find out later. Oh, yeah, I won thousands of dollars.
Look.
But I lost millions.
If you follow the NBA, as I do, you could tell the teams that are ranked high.
Yeah.
You see the teams that are ranked low. And if you have a high-ranked team playing a low-ranked team and the spread is, you know, 10 or above, most likely they're going to cover. Especially in the first half, which I've found out. Lately, and I've gotten myself out of the hole many times with NBA. I've put myself in the hole with NFL because NFL is just too evenly matched. Anything can happen. A low-ranked team could beat a high-ranked team upset any day. But NBA doesn't usually happen.
How much NBA do you watch?
I have NBA League Pass.
Me too.
So
how much do you watch?
I watch the games that I put money on, I watch.
But Muggs, help me understand this because I'm not a gambler.
Yeah.
But doesn't Las Vegas set those odds to make the money as even as possible so that there won't be a run on one team? I mean, that's what they do. The odds move if too many people start betting on one team, right? They're trying to keep them even.
Well, one might think, but I mean, if you do the research and you do your homework, you know. Tomorrow, the Clippers are playing the Sacramento Kings. Sacramento Kings are like in 24th place. Clippers are in 8th or something.
All right.
The spread's probably going to be like at least 12.
All right, so what's your advice?
I like that line. I like that line.
Okay.
And especially first and second half odds. First and second half odds are exciting because you could take first half odds, which is going to be half that 12-point spread of the whole game, probably 6. I guarantee you they'll cover that. It's the way that the Clippers are playing.
Here's the crazy thing. Muggs is a terrible gambler, but his confidence is sky high. He's the Armenian comedian of betting.
How dare you?
So what I mean, like, Sam considers himself a comedian, and we don't even understand his jokes.
Yeah.
That's you but in gambling.
How do you explain digging myself out of all these gigantic holes that I put myself in?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
How did you get in those gigantic holes if you're so good?
NFL. I never will bet on NFL again.
First of all, you're an addict. But second of all, if you guarantee the Clippers will cover and be up by at least 6 at the end of the first half, you should put everything you own on that. If it's a guarantee,
well,
it's 97%.
Here's the thing about that. About Vinnie Knuckles only limits me to a certain point that I could.
And what's the point? What's the highest you can gamble right now?
$300 on one line.
Okay, so you're going to do that?
Absolutely.
And when
now,
is
will
that
you bet
game?
Just tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night.
All right.
Will you bet just on first half or both halves?
I'm going to take first half, and if I win first half, and I like the second half line, I'm definitely taking second half. It depends. If the Clippers could go into halftime like up 22, and then they could be, you know, the Kings could be minus 3. I'll take those odds. It doesn't matter. I think the Clippers are going to blow the Kings out is what I'm saying. It's foolproof.
All right, here's, and I think here's the message. Here's the message. If anybody tells you, if anybody uses the word foolproof, that person is a fool.
Look, anything can happen
in
sports,
and the proof is coming tomorrow night.
Anything can happen in sports. I understand that. It's out of my hands.
Don't use the words foolproof.
But most,
those are the dumbest words to use when you're talking about gambling.
Right. Unless somebody gets injured, technicals out.
All of that can happen.
All that can happen, but lately it hasn't been happening, and lately I've been winning.
So you've won thousands of dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
Is what you're saying.
I've taken myself out of a $3,000 hole just from NBA. Just on NBA alone.
All right. We need to start getting some picks from Muggs then and start tracking him.
It's foolproof. Look, like that's a little foolish to say. You're right, Kevin. But it works.
Alex, hi.
Hi, Kevin, Dean, Lisa May.
Hi, you have a question?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Beer Mug.
Yeah.
What's up, Alex?
Beer Mug, if you're so great at betting.
Yeah.
Why are you working at K-Rock? I know people who are professional gamblers who live in Vegas, and all they do is bet on the NBA.
Have any of your friends that you know that live in Vegas and bet on the NBA ever used the word foolproof?
No. And these are people that gamble for a living. They live in million-dollar homes.
Look.
If Beer Mug would invite me over to his million-dollar home, we could watch a game together.
Yeah. You should be buying a new big screen by now, Muggs.
Look, I think if I just based my career off sports betting, that would be stupid.
Wait a minute. You're
97%. 97%.
But you win thousands of dollars.
It's recreation. For recreation, guys.
Not if it's 97%, it's not recreation. I'm throwing my whole career into that. If I'm winning 97% and it's foolproof, you, sir, are an idiot.
I might be using the term foolproof a little.
There's only one meaning for foolproof. It means that if you're a fool, it doesn't matter because it's foolproof.
But if I need money,
I need to punch you right in the head.
You were complaining there wasn't enough cowbell on the SNL 40 special that night. Does that take care of it for you?
Helps.
Hear a little bit of that, huh?
It helps a bit, yeah.
Talking sports with our friend Jim Rome later on today. Also, our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky, a brand new internet roundup. And right now, we got a question for you. What's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards! Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida? You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Let's all find out what.
Florida, as you know, is not only America's Wang, but it is the craziest state in the union with a far higher percentage of bizarre stories out of the Sunshine State than any other 10 states that you can find put together don't equal what Florida comes out with in a month. And that's why we started doing this feature. Hey, where's my music? I'm not hearing my music. There we go. Kevin, you're going to love this first story so much. This is a nude woman in Florida, 31 years old, Amy Carter, said she was on heavy drugs Sunday night. She allegedly stopped traffic to masturbate in the road in front of a couple's car. She was naked in the street, stopped a car to masturbate in front of it, then climbed on the hood, stomped on the hood of the car, and threw her cell phone at the vehicle behind it. Police reportedly found her at an intersection just on the outskirts of Orlando, Florida, at about 11:15 p.m. She appeared to be under the influence of a heavy unknown substance and in an altered mental state.
Did they give her a medal? Did they give her a medal or some kind of reward?
She does seem like the America's greatest citizen. She did put up a fight when they tried to arrest her. She kicked her legs up in the air, but she was eventually hauled off to a hospital and charged with criminal mischief and exposing her sexual organs, which is a charge that I've never heard before.
Me
only
either.
In Florida, right? She's been transferred to Orange County Jail, causing $1,500 in damage to the Lexus that she stopped on. Look, you see a lot of crazy stuff driving around the streets in Florida. You don't expect ever to see something like
that. Yeah, it is probably not the kind of woman that you would want to see doing that.
I got to tell you, I only have the mugshot to go by, and I'd look more. I mean,
You'd give her a couple of seconds?
Yeah, I'd give her a pass, absolutely. Gainesville, Florida is where we go for this next story. He is 23 years old, Winfred Alfonso McAllister. Police saw his red Mitsubishi Galant swerve into a left turn only lane and then back into its original lane twice, so they pulled him over for reckless driver driving. The police said, "Hey, what's that I smell? Is it a little weed? What's going on with you here, son?" And they said, well, I don't have any weed on me. I was just smoking earlier, and that just must be the remnants of that. So they asked the man to step out of the car. The officer could still smell something, started searching him, and realized that he had a bag of marijuana in his butt, according to the report. The officer then noticed that McAllister was hiding something in his mouth as well and asked him to take it out. He then tried to chew it and tried to swallow the object, but the officer grabbed him, forced it out of the mouth, and it turned out that was a plastic bag of crack cocaine. So he had weed in his butt and crack in his mouth.
Every orifice was full of drugs. That's awesome.
He was arrested on charges of possession of a controlled substance, marijuana possession, drug equipment possession, tampering with evidence. He's in jail waiting $40,000 bond. Here's a bizarre story out of Hillsborough County, Florida. A garbage truck driver made a surprising find in the back end of a garbage truck on Wednesday morning when he discovered a man and a woman in the back of his truck. It seems like, according to the garbage truck driver, Radamas Velasquez, he was just getting ready to compact the trash in the truck when he heard them screaming. He called 911. He could not get the man or woman out. He said to 911, "I got two people back there. I don't know how they got in the back of the truck, but they stuck in the truck, and I almost killed both of them." It turns out it was Donald Jordan, 37, Lisa Cirabella, 49. They weren't homeless, by the way. They were drunk. They were hanging out at the Seminole Hard Rock Casino, were so drunk when they came out of the nightclub that they climbed into the dumpster at a nearby Wawa gas station to sleep it off. That's how they wound up in the garbage truck when the truck came by and emptied the dumpster the next morning.
Oh, my God.
That's a bender right there. According to the police, the male, it was very difficult getting information from him. He was very intoxicated. He reeked of alcohol, said he was visiting some friends. They left him stranded, and he and his lady friend crawled into a dumpster because it was a warm place. That's not how you want to wake up.
That's not romantic. No.
In the back of a garbage truck. Here's a West Palm Beach man who listed his occupation on an arrest report as drug dealer. That's what he wrote.
He wrote arrest report.
As he was filling out the paperwork, he's 25 years old. He was arrested on Tuesday after he cut in front of an unmarked Palm Beach County sheriff's car, nearly caused a crash. The sheriff's car went in pursuit. Listen to this, by the way. This is bizarre. I want more information on this. The detective followed Phillips and watched. At the end of a car chase, he was on his way to a drug transaction. So he's eluding the police, and he drives immediately to a drug deal that he then goes through with. Deputies in marked cars caught up to him, who then fled from the drug scene at a high rate of speed. He was arrested in possession of 22 grams of heroin, by the way. Also 5.5 grams of crack cocaine. He's facing multiple drug charges, remains in jail on $242,000, gave his occupation as drug dealer. And finally, we've told you about all sorts of criminals today. Here's a guy who maybe just should not even get into a life of crime. He's from Delroy Beach. His name is Stuart Charles McNeil. He is facing a charge of robbery with a firearm, being held in the Palm County Beach Jail in lieu of $20,000 bond. He attempted to rob a Dunkin' Donuts last week at gunpoint. But he actually told police after he turned himself in, "I guess I'm not very good at the robbery thing." He walked in around 12:20 p.m. wearing a mask and waited several minutes in line in a mask before approaching the counter with a handgun in his right hand.
Well, you don't want to cut the line.
He's very polite.
Right.
He told the Dunkin' Donuts employee, forgive me for what I'm about to do." He had a gun pointed at the clerk, who ignored him and attended to another customer and said, "The man waited in line for several minutes trying to unsuccessfully rob the Dunkin' Donuts until he eventually gave up, walked out of the store, and fled the scene in a Honda Accord." It doesn't say why, but the next day he called police and said, "Yeah, I tried to rob the Dunkin' Donuts yesterday."
Wait, he didn't get it. Why would he call?
Why an unsuccessful robbery attempt? He then turned himself in. He told police, he said, "You know what? I'm not good at this. It was a mistake. I shouldn't have done it, and I want to turn myself in."
Wow, that's shocking.
He is terrible. He is terrible at crime.
He's the worst criminal ever.
He should not be living in Florida.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
Hey, we want you to go see Fall Out Boy, and we want you to see them in Tokyo, Japan. If that sounds like fun, you don't want to miss it. 9 o'clock this morning, we'll qualify you by giving you tickets to see Fall Out Boy at the Hollywood Bowl, and then throughout the day at various times. You can get the details at krock.com.
There's a Krispy Kreme store in the UK that has created a Krispy Kreme club. And being creative as they are, they used K's at the beginning of every word. Krispy Kreme and club.
By the way, I know why brands do this, because they can't trademark the correct spellings, but all three of those words are spelled wrong.
Yeah.
Krispy Kreme Club.
Yeah, but that's irrelevant. I mean, really, they don't care. But it was the addition of the club and then the advertising, the KKK special.
Yeah, the KKK.
Got people's attention.
So this was a store in Britain, in Hull is the name of the town, and they created this event which was meant to allow customers to come into the store to decorate donuts. So they put it up on their website, and they thought, oh, this is great. We're going to have Wednesday Krispy Kreme Club meetings. Well, then people who may have, I don't know, been to America or watched a movie, they said, hey, you guys, you know KKK has another meeting, and Krispy Kreme was like, what? So apparently they did change the name, and they issued an apology, and they regret that anyone may have taken offense with it. I do believe them, by the way. I do believe.
Yeah, because who would be dumb enough to do that on purpose?
Yeah, exactly. And look, I don't know the names of private clubs and organizations from the 1800s in other countries. Why would we expect them to know ours, you know? So we wanted to find out more about this and what the fallout is from this from the man who knows Krispy Kreme. UK spokesperson Carter Hull joins us on the phone. And Mr. Hull, I want to say, first off, very impressive of you to come on at this controversial time to address the media. Thank you for your time, sir.
Well, it's the least we could do. We certainly don't want to upset anyone. And we realize that the use of the KKK Wednesday promotion, as we did in Hull, was inadvertently offensive to some people.
Yeah.
And as we were saying, in no way was this intentional. You just literally had never heard of the racist organization in the United States in the 1800s.
It was certainly not a front of mind, as we use the three initials KKK, that it was in any way connected with a white supremacist group. No, not whatsoever. It's not a popular phrase, or it's not well known, I suppose you say, here in the UK.
Yeah, I understood. So what are you putting in place to assure that something like this doesn't happen again?
Well, we still believe, at heart, the promotional campaign is a solid one. It's a new events for each day of the week to encourage people to come down to Krispy Kreme donuts and enjoy themselves.
Okay.
So what we've done is we've certainly, of course, taken off KKK Wednesday. And we're replacing it, and the other days, actually, also with other events that we believe will be just as fun, but not nearly as upsetting to people.
Okay.
For Wednesdays, instead of KKK Wednesday, we're doing All Ingredient Donut Day. That's when you come down here, and any ingredient you like on your donuts, chocolate or sprinkles or icing or cream-filled, anything you like, we will make special donuts with all the ingredients that you prefer in a donut on Wednesdays. So come down and enjoy All Ingredient Donuts, All Ingredient Donuts, AID. So come down and enjoy the AIDS, as we call them, AID, the AIDS. Come down and have AIDS Wednesday, we're going to have, and I hope everyone comes down and enjoys AIDS Wednesday.
Mr.
All Ingredient Donuts, AID, AIDS Wednesday. Come get some AIDS, we say, on Wednesdays.
Okay.
Down at Krispy Kreme in Hull. I think you'll have a good time getting AIDS on Wednesday.
You might need to revisit that one as well.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Well, those words, it's an autoimmune deficiency disease. It's very very well known around the world. I'm surprised nobody on your staff pointed out that AIDS actually has a medical meaning and beyond the promotional meaning that you've assigned to it.
Oh, bugger. All right. Make a note here.
Yeah, you can't use that one.
AIDS Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Well, Tuesdays, we're enjoying, especially at our whole store, we're celebrating a founder, the owner of the store down there. We're going to come down and everyone will salute Albert. Albert is a wonderful man. So come down and join the celebration as we give tribute to Al Qaeda. He's an excellent guy, and everyone celebrate Al Qaeda on Tuesday. It's Al Qaeda Tuesday. Everyone come down and come by. Give Albert a big hearty hand clasp and a slap on the back. And
Mr. Hall, maybe you should go with Albert Qaeda.
Al Qaeda. Al Qaeda Tuesday.
Yeah.
All right, Al Qaeda. That's a terrorist organization, though, that's responsible for blowing a lot of stuff up in England. I'm surprised that nobody pointed that out to you, sir. You can't use Al Qaeda.
All right, fair enough. On Monday, however, we have a special an email coupon for donuts and bowling. We're going to be doing bowling and donuts via the email. If you get the special email coupon, if you sign up for our email list, we send you the coupon, you can get free bowling and a donut on Mondays. So it's Ebola Monday. Ebola Monday. Come on down. Enjoy the bowling and donuts on Ebola Monday.
You can't work in Ebola. That's a terrible disease.
Crap.
Do you guys not run these
all
through?
Right, how about on Saturdays, all our iced donuts, any donuts with icing on Saturday is half price.
You can't use
ISIS. ISIS. All the ISIS that we have. Come on down.
You can't. ISIS.
All the ISIS. All the ISIS are half price. Come and join ISIS.
That's also a terrorist organization.
Yeah, you guys got to start watching the news, sir.
Take that one off.
Well, Sunday. We're keeping Sunday.
Okay, what's Sunday?
Sunday is an enormous amount of fun. We've got a large box with a donut inside of it, and you don't know what's in it. You don't know what kind of donut we have. But if we spin the wheel and you land on it and you get your chance to get a free donut, you reach inside the box and pull out the donut, and that surprise donut is yours. You can't see it, but you can have it. We call it the Nazi party. It's the Nazi party. You just reach your hand in there, the donut you don't see. It's the Nazi party. Come join the Nazi party.
That's
Krispy Kreme's Nazi party.
That's a terror. You're saying Nazi, though. You understand that, right? You're not just saying not.
I have no idea.
Nazi.
Oh, yeah. Damn it. All right, well, I'm going to get back to work. Heil Hitler.
I'm Nick Pagliocchini, K-Rock Traffic.
I think this is going well. What's happening down there?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat on a Thursday morning. Kevin Amicio, save us, Ralph.
Did Nick go? Did Nick do his traffic? Nick Pagliocchini?
Yes.
I love
yes,
Nick.
Yes, it was sent to me. I could hear it loud and clear.
How about that?
Okay.
How about that?
So anyway.
How about that?
Now we know why Tom DeLonge is not playing with Blink. Now we know why he's not going to record or tour again with Blink.
Well, it certainly did seem like Mark and Travis were in, and they had difficulty wrangling Tom with their schedule.
Well, Tom is very busy now because he is dealing with the extraterrestrials.
I'm sorry?
You know, he's busy with all the extraterrestrials who have been visiting him. Come on, Kevin.
Extraterrestrials that have been visiting him.
You have to check out Tom's website called Strange Times, which he talks about his extraterrestrial encounters. He recently did an interview with Magazine Paper and said he's had his own personal encounters with aliens, but the government knows about his encounters with the aliens, so he thinks he may be in danger.
Is he messing around?
I don't know. He says he has a friend of his that was captured by the government and was used for mind control experiments, and that his phone is being tapped by the U.S. government, so he's a little concerned for his well-being and others.
Hmm. So this goes beyond just, I saw lights in the sky. He's talking about an actual contact, right? A close encounter of the third kind, as
yes,
they say.
Yes, and he says the government knows all about it, and he claims he has 150 hours of testimony about a top-secret U.S. space program that interacts with aliens.
He's effing around.
So, better get your act together, people.
He's got to be.
It's on. Race
it
war.
It is tinfoil hat time.
Race war. Alien race war. The alien race war. It's our race versus their race. Race war. It is on.
Now, Kevin, why do you think he's effing around and not just
because I've met
seriously
him.
one of those crazy guys who believes in aliens?
Because I've met him.
Right.
And we've interviewed him, and we've hung out with him, and he doesn't seem that crazy.
Have you interviewed him lately?
Have
you hung out with him lately?
No, I mean, it's been, you know.
Probably a year.
A year.
All right. Well, maybe you want to put on your tinfoil hat and then sit down with Tom and see what's what. Because you don't know.
Maybe your worldview changes a little bit once there's some sort of anal probe in your sleep, Kevin.
There
maybe
you
that
go.
Wakes you right up.
That would change you.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on. Race war. Race war is on, everybody. It's going down. Shit is going down. Race war. Come on. Race war.
I feel like Cartman's too happy with that.
More music news. I don't know if you saw Ariana Grande's new music video, One Last Time, where apparently meteors are raining down, and it's ready for the Earth is going to go. The Earth is it's finished. It's end times.
Okay,
Comet's going to strike Earth, and it's all over.
Is Tom DeLonge writing one of them?
He's not.
Okay,
but in the video is sort of a POV of her running around the streets, wandering the streets as the meteors rain down, and she gets to make out with her boyfriend one last kiss before the Earth explodes.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing about this video, which is directed by Max Landis. The band Safia from Australia, they said, wow, that looks really familiar. Here, take a look at our video, You Are the One, which is the exact same concept, including the kiss at the end, and the meteor is raining down, and the end times, and the end
exact?
Of Earth. Exact same concept.
I don't know that I've ever heard of a video being copied directly.
They said it's probably just a coincidence, the band did. Said they're not going after Ariana or her record label. They're not suing. But they did post a ton of messages on social media and YouTube saying it's just it's weird. The coincidences are really similar. We posted ours last September, and now here's this new video. It's odd. Well, Ariana's fans reacted appropriately to Safia pointing out the similarities by sending them death threats. Yes.
That's
now
always the
members
answer.
Members of the band are being threatened by Ariana Grande's friends, fans with death because they pointed out that maybe they got the idea for her video from theirs.
By the way, if it's that close and they're not suing, that's a pretty...
I would
good thing.
I would thank them and maybe threaten them with death less.
Maybe less death
less death threats.
Cut down on the death threats.
We have to stop. We have to stop the internet from being anonymous. That's the only way we're going to curtail this BS. Because I want to see this little 12-year-old girl who's threatening Safia with the death threat, and I want to be able to go to her house, ding dong, ring the bell. And when she answers the bell, I want to slap her right in the face. Stop it! And then I just close the door and just walk away from her. We need to stop her from being on the internet.
I don't think we have enough military or law enforcement personnel to track down all of the people who write bad things on the internet.
Ralph will do it himself.
What is the unemployment rate in the United States right now?
That's a good point.
I think it's around 6%, maybe.
Okay. So what's 6% of the population of the U.S., roughly?
Well, I'm not doing any more math on the show. I've proved how bad I am at it, but it's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people, Ralph.
So swear them all in. That's
there you
saying.
Go. There you go. Those people all have jobs as of tomorrow once I start the IF, the Internet Force. I'm the general of the Internet Force, and we go out and just start slapping people.
So it's just a slap and then stop it.
That's it. So slap. You know what? We're gonna everybody gets a pair of leather gloves and just whack. You just hit them across the face with the leather gloves. You don't even have to hit them with your hand. Just the leather gloves, whack, right across the face.
Sort of like a British slap. Just a little easy one.
Exactly.
And then we can make a TV show about it called The Slap.
I like it. It's good.
That'll never work. Wow. Speaking of TV, Honey Boo Boo may be back on television.
What?
I'll say that for next hour. I'm out of time here. I'm out of time.
What happened?
We'll talk about it the next hour. They have a new idea for a new show for Honey Boo Boo. It does not involve child molestation, which I think is probably a good idea. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Victoria Justice is 22 years old today. You know who's going to be in the IF? Victoria Justice, with a name like that. She should be a general in the Internet Force.
Ding dong.
Did you say you're going to kill Safia because you love Ariana Grande?
Yes.
Bam! Thank you for your time, ma'am.
Followed by, stop it!
Hallie Duff's 30. Ariel Kebble's 30 also. Do we know who she is yet? Have we done any research on Ariel Kebble?
She is an actress who has been in some things.
Thank you for all your hard
all
work.
All right.
Benicio Del Toro's 48 years old today. Singer Seal is 52. Roger Goodell's 56. Actor Jeff Daniels celebrates his 60th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Jim Rome, 1 hour from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking sports. Why does Kobe Bryant have no friends? Why does Yankee slugger Alex Rodriguez have handwriting like a girl? And what's going to happen with the NBA trade deadline? We'll discuss all of that and more with our friend Jim Rome. That is coming up on K-Rock. First, though, Kevin, tell me about this conversation that apparently I missed with our friend Reggie.
Well, we all have jobs that we think we can do, and then we all have jobs that we think that we absolutely could not do. And being a waiter or waitress is one that I absolutely could not do.
Well, you would be terrible at it for the same reason that I would be terrible at it, which is it sucks having to deal with the public.
I would be so impatient, I think. If you walk up to a table and they don't know what they want, oh, I don't know, let me look. I'd go, I'll be back in a minute. I got other things to do. Like, I don't think I would have the patience to do it. And Reggie, who works here at K-Rock, was a waitress. Hi, Reggie.
Hi, how are you guys?
And you were a waitress and you had a great, great time, didn't you?
Oh, I'm having a blast.
Oh, are you still doing it? You're still waiting?
Yeah, I'm currently still serving. Yeah.
So you're doing that and you're working here at K-Rock as well. And I guess there was a conversation the other day that I wasn't a part of where you were sharing some of the fun times you've been having as a server. And we thought that might be interesting to talk to other waiters and waitresses about what their job is like. Do you like it in general?
I mean, we get a lot of different personalities. 80% of them suck. 20% are great.
Oh, so that's
80%. 80% of your customers suck.
Yeah, maybe like out of 10 customers, we have 8 really bad ones.
All right, let me just ask this. Are you bad? Mm-hmm. Is it your fault?
No, it's not my
fault.
I'm
just asking.
Try to give everyone an open mind. I'm very positive, so I try to, like, be nice to everyone.
All right, what is it, in your opinion, that makes 8 out of 10 of your customers suck? What are we, the consumer, doing wrong, Reggie?
Okay, so as far as personality, I mean, you can't help people out like that. They're just, the way they are is the way they are, and you just got to deal with it.
Uh-huh.
But I think the worst has to be just wanting everything immediately when there's 4 other tables you have to work out with, you know, like you have to chips and salsa and, like, drinks and food, but they want everything very specifically, and it's so hard to, like, try to manage, like, 5 different tables and 5 different personalities when it's just one person, you know?
Oh, yeah, totally. So the number one complaint you would have is that people are impatient and they have unreal expectations about how much the server is able to do.
Yes, exactly. And I think for some reason people get very comfortable at a restaurant.
Right.
And they just become, like, they say things that I think they wouldn't normally say to a stranger. I don't know if it's because you're helping them out or something. I don't know what it is, but...
Tell us about your new boyfriend, your new future husband.
So this happened recently at the restaurant I'm working at. There was a customer that was with 4 other dudes, young, handsome guys, really nice. They were kind of being overly nice, and one of the guys specifically kept on making really weird jokes. Like, I'd drop off their plate and I'd be like, oh, just be careful, they're really hot. And he's like, yeah. He's like, that's not the only thing that's hot here.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So really?
Like, cheesy jokes like that. And
I have mad respect for that man. That's a great line.
That is so mean.
That is a great line.
No,
and that works.
Terrible.
And that works, right, Reggie?
Of course not, no.
Reggie,
no.
If you see Bean, never wait on him.
Okay.
Okay, so all of them are being too nice.
Yeah, like one of them likes more than others, for mm-hmm. sure. And then towards the end, like, they were drinking all night. So towards the end, he came up to me and asked for the check. But just by himself, he walked out of his table and walked up to me. And he's like, so I was wondering if we could grab drinks together someday and see what happens later.
Ooh.
Yeah, I just don't understand what.
That's the assumptive close,
okay.
Isn't it, right there?
Yeah, so after that, I told him, I was like, look, I'm at work. I don't give out my information at work. It's, like, just another job. Like, it's nothing personal. I was like, I'm sure you're great, but it's just not, like, I'm sorry, I can't.
Yeah, so you're trying to be nice.
Yeah, no, he was not having it. He called me a bitch. He's like,
oh my God.
I don't understand why you have to be so bitchy. He's like, I know you're at work. And he was so rude after that. Like, I dropped off his check after that. And he, like, flung the plates, like, right across from me. And I was like, okay, I'm sorry. Like, this is not going to make me want to go on a date with you if you're going to be pissy and, like, not.
Yeah, no kidding. So, look, Reggie, I mean, you're young and you're pretty and you're very personable. So I'm sure I mean, let's face it. We all know that. So it's not a surprise that he would be interested in asking you out. But what it sounds mm-hmm. to me like you're saying is that a lot of people think that you have a closer relationship than you do just because you've bantered back and forth for 20 minutes over the course of a meal, right? That doesn't mean
exactly.
You guys are friends. It means you're working and they're customers, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's just me. I just like to be nice and, like, just enjoy my job that much more. But yeah, I don't know what makes it more comfortable. And I've actually had a couple even hit on me, too. I don't know what it is.
A couple?
Like,
yeah. All right.
Older. No, but they were, like, in their early 50s. Like,
yes, even worse,
like,
for you.
Together.
So, Reggie, let me ask you this, because we're going to take some calls from other servers and servettes. What are they called? Waiters and waitresses, I guess.
Yeah,
we want to
yeah.
hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. What are we looking for, Kevin? Are we looking for just horror stories, or are we looking for awesome things that have happened
to
you?
No, nightmares. I think they're nightmares. Because she said they're 80% bad. And I believe
80%.
That. I believe that, because I think people just are dicks to people who they can be dicks to. And it sucks.
Yeah. Totally
Reggie,
agree, yeah.
do most people, and we'll let you go and get back to sleep or whatever you're doing, but do most mm-hmm. people leave what you would expect an average, you know, like 15% tip, or are people, like, wildly unversed in how to tip properly?
This is sad, but it really does depend where you work, like what city you work in. And,
okay.
Yeah, and what restaurant you work at. So I guess I work at a corporate place, so it's not the fanciest place.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the people don't tip that well. They really don't. Like that guy didn't tip me out anything after I didn't give him my number.
Well, you said no, because you're a bitch, though. Tab. You said no, Reggie.
I know. Sorry.
How?
I should have saw that coming.
That's a weird thing to me. A guy who in 1 second is asking you out and in the next second is calling you a bitch.
And treating you like crap. Dude. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
At least tip me out, you know? Like,
right. Leave me a tip. Maybe say we should go for coffee. Come back another day. Try to work it.
Exactly.
Wow,
come back
that's
once
insane.
A week, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, leave 20% instead of 15. You know,
there you
or
go.
Zero.
All right, Reggie. Well, you are awesome. Thank you for sharing your experience. We're gonna open up the phone lines now at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear from waiters and waitresses. We want to hear about the crappy 80% of us customers who are in there getting a meal. Reggie, we'll see you soon, my dear. Thanks for the time.
All right, bye.
I got to tell you, I tip always. Always, because I couldn't do that job. Mm-hmm. I think if this person is bringing me food, if they're doing a job that I don't think I would last a day at, I'm going to tip them.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't think that I have I don't think that I've ever left a protest penny tip or no tip at all like some people do. I don't think I've ever been in that situation before. I think I'm a minimum of 15% tip.
Plus, the waiters and waitresses better go out with me when I ask. That's all I'm saying.
Of course. That's only fair.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next. Got a brand new internet roundup, and we're going to talk to Dean Winters, the star of Battle Creek, a brand new TV show coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 25 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Right now, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for your horror stories of being a waiter or waitress. We just heard from our friend Reggie about some of the things that have happened to her. Listen to these before we go to the phones, Kevin. Right. This is going to blow your mind. Nicole writes in, I was a server for a couple of years. At Fridays, I had a lady flick soup in my face because it wasn't hot enough for her.
How does a human being get to that point?
I don't know.
Honestly, no matter how mad you are, do you throw food at people?
Robert writes in, used to be a server, had customers leave both used diapers and used tampons on booth seats or under tables on different occasions. People are horrible.
Wow.
Under what circumstances are you leaving a used tampon in a booth at a restaurant? Hey, let's go to Carlos real quick. He's in Hollywood. He's on line three to get us going here at 1-800-520-1067.
Hey, Carlos.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How are you doing tonight?
Good, thank you. You're a waiter?
Yeah, I'm a server at a restaurant down in Hollywood off of Sunset.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the worst story I've ever had is I was attending to a bachelorette party after hours, since our restaurant is open later after hours. We're open until 4 in the morning on Saturdays.
Right.
And it was a group of 22 women that showed up and wound up destroying the place about maybe 20 minutes before we were going to close down.
Were they drunk?
I mean, they were drunk
okay.
as hell.
Yeah.
They vomited in the bathroom. Ugh. They broke a table. They just made a mess of the entire place. And after everything, their check ran up to about $500, a little over, and they wound up leaving me no tip.
Wow.
Dude. Because I would think the one advantage to having an unruly group like that is they'll take care of their server because they know that they're a handful. But nothing, huh?
Nothing, especially since now we can't add gratuity. And since the beginning of this year, you can't automatically add gratuity to any amount of customers.
Is that just your restaurant or all restaurants?
It's technically a new law that's
passed
by in California that no restaurant is allowed to put in the automatic gratuity anymore.
Wow.
But yeah,
that's pretty common in a lot of places.
I know, but I got screwed over that. And then the worst part of it was I wound up having to stay about 2 hours helping clean up afterwards.
Mm.
And
no, the worst part is that there were 22 drunk girls in your restaurant and you hit none of them.
You
that's the
alone.
Worst part. All right, Carlos, thanks for the call. We appreciate you listening. Let's go to Antonio, Pasadena, line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Antonio.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Basically a drunk guy.
You sound surprised to be on the phone right now.
Did you just say, what is it? You're trying to think of your story?
No,
Antonio, you remember that you called us, right? We didn't wake you out of a sound sleep and insist on a story from you, right?
All right, go ahead.
A drunk guy tried to fight me for not bringing his water fast enough.
You didn't bring his water fast enough, so he threatened to fight you.
It took me maybe 10 minutes to bring his water because I had 9 tables to take care of.
Yeah. Well, that's what Reggie's saying, is a lot of people feel like they're the only customer, and that's the kind of service they expect, and that's just not practical at a restaurant most of the time.
Yep.
But I feel like delivering water, I mean, 10 minutes is a long time, honestly, but how does a person get to the point where they want to fight you?
Well, yeah, he didn't just try and fight me. He actually left his booth, walked towards me, and had to be – his wife was trying to hold him back, and my manager had to shoot me to the back and tell me to calm down.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Good times. All right, Antonio, thanks. Sorry to wake you up, man, but thanks for the call. Trey writes in, listen to this, Kevin. I had a pimp tell me that in lieu of a tip, I could spend my lunch break with one of his employees. They were sitting there with him at the table.
Oh, my God.
So he's at the restaurant, and the pimp says, how about one of these for a tip instead? All right, let's talk to Josh in Whittier, line 6. I think I may have a bone to pick with Josh here.
Oh, you think it's Josh's fault?
Let's find out. Hey, Josh.
Hey, good morning, guys. First time caller.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening and for calling. All right, so you are or were a waiter. What was the problem?
I was a waiter, and I had a regular, and he's a Vietnam veteran, you know, that's what he did, accordingly. And he comes in Monday through Sunday, you know, sits in the same spot, and he expects everything for free. He expects free refills, he expects discounts on food, you name it, he wants it for free. And if it's not there fast enough, he's going to throw a fit. One time I was cleaning his table, and then he decided to slide his half-filled cup of lemonade towards me as I was cleaning it up, and it spilled, thus causing a bigger mess for
no apparent reason. Now, did he think that he deserved everything for free or discounted because he was a veteran?
Yeah, he thinks he's above everybody. I mean, I've had police officers, firefighters, paramedics, they come in, they want to pay for their food, and they, you know, leave a really nice tip. This guy, for some reason, just thinks he's above everybody.
Yeah. So he's over there in the jungle fighting Charlie for your freedom, and you're giving him lip because he wants a refill on his lemonade in a timely fashion. That's the America we live in now. That's what's going on, Josh?
More or less. I mean, this guy's fat. I don't know what he was actually scouting. All right. Maybe it's a kitchen.
As long as he's fat.
Hey, producer Dave, the King of Mexico. How are you, my friend?
Very well. Thank you.
You ready for a brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup?
Yes, sir.
Yo, K-Rock listeners around the world.
Finds all the best viral videos of the week and puts them up at KevinDeBean.com and KRock.com with a feature we call the Internet Roundup. Some great stuff to play for you here today, and even more to see on the site. I have no time for watching kids play sports. I got no, like,
come on.
That's my idea of hell is watching eighth graders play basketball, okay? Having said that, this is a pretty remarkable piece of tape. This is a championship game. It's actually the third place game in their tournament. And you've got a team that's down by one. By the way, here's the kind of game this is. It's 26-25, Kevin, at the end of the game, okay? So the Mustangs are down by one, and there is a last-second buzzer beater that one of their young players throws up, and he's going to be the hero for the rest of time if this goes in and they win this game. And it hits the rim and stops, and the game ends. The buzzer sounds. The game ends with the ball on the rim, refusing to drop in. They lose the game. Listen up.
Oh, my God!
So time runs out on the clock, and obviously you can't make another shot because it's sitting on the top of the rim. Now, how often have you guys seen that happen?
Stuck between the backboard and the rim, it happens a lot, but in that situation.
Never on a last shot.
Isn't it a jump ball?
It is a jump ball, yeah.
So, well, that's weird that they
But there was no time left on the clock, so they couldn't do a jump ball.
Look, the ref was like, this is 26-25. I got to get out.
Let's just get home.
Yeah.
Speaking of games, Wheel of Fortune is still a show that's on the air with Pat Sajak hosting. And this is one of the craziest solves you've ever seen. It's the, what was it, championship match is what the answer was,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
One letter showing on the board. One letter, and the contestant is able to solve it. Listen up.
One T.
Championship match.
Yeah, that's right.
He's so stunned because it was only the T in match, and the guy says the whole thing.
Now, isn't that bad strategy?
You know that you can make more money if you continue to run. If you figured it out, you should still keep guessing letters because you make more money.
Exactly.
Unless you land on a bankrupt or something like that and you don't ever get a chance to solve it. That's the danger of going that strategy.
Yeah, but what good is it if you're winning $200 or whatever?
Well, I don't know.
One letter.
Our friend Ashley Esqueda from CNET
tweeted
me and said, my mom and I do that all the time.
They
we're
sure
on TV, right?
One letter?
Yeah. Just solve it with like one letter.
Wow.
Who would
She's
be
a
worse?
Miracle.
Who would be worse at that than me? Anyone?
Maybe me. I don't know. I don't have that skill.
But you can spell. I have spelling issues.
So that was a pretty impressive win, though. You got to see the video because of how amazed Pat Sajak is. This is funny. Dave, who does the movie spoilers? Is this the Fine Brothers? Is that who does this?
This is the Fine Brothers, yeah.
And that's what they do. They put up videos where they spoil all the movies, and this is their Oscars version. So
spoiler alert.
Dip out for 30 seconds if you don't want to find out how all of the nominated movies end.
Filmed over 12 years with the same actors, it ends with Mason breaking up with his girlfriend, going to college, and having a moment reflecting with his new friend. Stephen and Jane peacefully break up, and he becomes the esteemed author and physicist we know today, just like in real life.
Dr. King leads a successful march to Birmingham, and the Voting Rights Act is announced, just like in real life.
After leaving the military as the best sniper in U.S. history, Chris helps other veterans by taking them to shooting ranges. Sadly, he is shot and killed by a Marine he was helping, just like in real life.
See how much time we just saved you? Now you don't have to see any of those movies. YouTube just celebrated – it's hard to imagine that there was a time in this world before YouTube, but it just celebrated its 10th birthday. Like, how did we used to watch stuff on the internet before there was YouTube? I don't even remember.
I don't know if you were joking, but I'm serious. It's hard to remember before YouTube.
Yeah.
It absolutely is. Yes. Somebody put together the best 101 of the biggest and most hilarious and the craziest viral videos in the history of YouTube. And I'm telling you, man, this takes you back. You start, you start thinking about the Star Wars guy. You start thinking about Bite My Finger Charlie or whatever that was. I mean, just one
the
right after another.
The dentist. Yeah. All of the big viral videos.
I mean, it's an amazing video. This will give you a taste of it.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. I got to do look up in a tree. Who else seen the leprechaun say yeah?
Oh, my God, Shiz.
Is this real life?
It's strong. That is a strong video right there.
Every 5 seconds, you're just completely taken back to another where you're like, oh, my God, I forgot about Chocolate Rain. Or
yeah,
we
got to
awesome.
Bring back the Harlem Shake, right?
Come on. No. All right, you know me. I hate the car chases more than anything. I think they are a waste of time. They should never be on television.
You're
Los
a bad
Angeles
person.
Is the car chase capital of the world, but there are a few other cities where they got freeways where it makes sense to at least try to get away, and Dallas is one of those. And this was an amazing car chase from last week. I don't think in all the years I've ever seen a car chase, I've ever seen one like this.
Same.
This guy's trying to get away from the police, and he ends up rear-ending two different cars. And that stops him because his car kind of, breaks down because he's in an accident. The lady who's driving one of the cars that he hits, jumps out of the car and basically pulls him out of his car and throws him to the ground and holds him until the police get there. You've never seen a citizen jump into action as much as this woman does. And I have to imagine she was just operating on all A, I'm PO'd that you just ran into my car, and B, just sheer adrenaline. But here's the TV announcers doing the play-by-play.
We've had a collision here.
And the driver's getting out.
Getting out.
Oh, no. And the driver and the passenger of a car that was hit has grabbed the driver that was fleeing police, and they threw him on the ground.
Yeah, and police officers now on the scene. They appear to have this person in custody.
That was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, she decked him, didn't she? She laid him out.
And she didn't think, hey, this might be dangerous. She's like, you mother effer. And she pulled him out of the car.
They tossed him to the ground.
That was
waited
awesome.
For the cops. Did you see last night's car chase?
I don't think I did.
A guy crashed and tried to run, and the cops just tased him.
Oh, I didn't
and you see
that.
Him, like, rolling around like a fish. It was awesome.
Shouldn't have been on TV.
Oh, totally.
They're having the craziest weather in most New Englanders' lifetime right now. You've seen the 6, 8, 10 feet of snow in places around Boston, for instance. Well, they also have a weather phenomenon called thundersnow, which doesn't happen very often. Thundersnow. So it's snowing the same instead of raining, but it's during a thunderstorm, so you're hearing the clap of the thunder. Well, Well, on the Weather Channel, Jim Cantore is out, and he's doing a live broadcast, and he is so excited that they're on the air for Thundersnow.
Wait,
check it out.
Wait, this guy is a professional weather fan?
Oh, yeah. What? Oh, yeah, he is. He's one of the big, big names on the Weather Channel. Yeah.
He was so excited. It was crazy.
Oh, yes. 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 We got it, baby. We got it. We got it. Woo. Woo. We got it. Yes. Listen to that. Listen to that. Oh, baby. You can have your $500 million jackpot in Powerball or whatever the heck it was.
What?
But I'll take this, baby. Four lightning strikes.
It's thunderstorm.
It was the greatest moment of his professional career. All right, couple more videos. Billy on the Street. Billy Eichner, who has that hilarious TV show. It was on Fuse. They just moved it, right, Dave?
They moved it to True because he signed with Turner. So
yeah, he does a great show where basically he screams at people on the street. But this is an all-star celebrity edition where he has Elena, who's one of his regular contestants from the streets of New York. She's on it, along with Big Bird from Sesame Street and First Lady Michelle Obama. And they're playing some Billy on the Street games.
Who's more deserving of a Kennedy Center honor, Martin Short or a box of frozen corn?
FLOTUS. The corn.
No, Martin Short. He's a genius. He played Ed Grimley, right, Elena?
He is funny.
He is funny. Even Elena likes him.
No,
what?
I like corn.
Corn is delicious.
Canada.
What?
I think he's from Canada.
He is. What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know.
I love that he calls her FLOTUS to her face, and I love that he screams at her, too.
By the way, the name of the game they were playing was Ariana Grande or a Carrot.
Billy Eichner does make reference to one point that he has to be careful how much he yells or lunges toward the First Lady because she does have Secret Service men with guns just off camera. Very funny video. You can see these and all the great viral videos of the week at KevinAbean.com or KRock.com. It's a brand new Kevin Abean Internet Roundup.
Those videos were awesome. Now baby, go watch the Internet Roundup. Yeah!
Thank you, Nick. It is 7:53. Time for the Showbiz Beat.
Nick, Polly, and Keeney!
Prepper.
Where's his jingle, man?
Oh, I don't think any of us
have. Does he have a jingle?
None of us have jingles.
I'm making him one. I just
all
did.
Right. All right.
Nick, Polly, and Keeney!
Prepper.
So what would mine be?
Darn!
That's not nice.
Kevin!
Darn! Right, I'm going to start making jingles for everybody.
I'd rather you didn't.
Get in the other room with Omar. I'm going to whip them up.
It'd be fun.
Ah, see what we've done now. See what we've done.
What have we done?
You bastards. We've driven Iggy Azalea off of Twitter.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. So
how's she going to fight with the pizza delivery boy?
I know. How's she going to fight with Papa John's? Here's the thing. She was on vacation in Hawaii with her boyfriend, Nick Young. And there was a paparazzi around, and they took pictures of her in her bikini. And the pictures got posted, and everyone started talking about the cellulite on her ass.
Mm.
So, she believes she's being bullied and body shamed, and she released the following tweets. Just got back from a great vacation, came online, I saw apparently it's shocking, unheard of to be a woman and have cellulite. I want to have peace and relaxation without a perv with a long-distance lens hiding out taking pictures. I feel the hatred and pettiness I see online at times is making me become an angry person, and I cannot be that. I want my fans to know I'm taking some time off from social media. So she is quitting Twitter. Because she's tired of people making fun of her.
I am surprised that more celebrities don't follow her lead. I can't imagine how soul-crushing it would be to wake up every day and have people just railing on you about things that they got no business commenting on.
I agree, but I also feel like you got to be careful how you're going to pitch yourself and what your image is going to be. Because if you come out, I'm in the murder business. I kill Pete. You made fun of my ass! And you start crying and run away, then you're at a crossroads, I think, there.
Yeah, that's fair,
you know what I'm saying? If you're a gangsta, you're all up in your murder business, yo! And then someone says, you have a bumpy ass. You can't go crying and running away. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Either you're in the murder business, yo, or you're not in the murder business, yo. And I know because I'm in the murder business.
You're not in the murder
business. I'm in the murder business.
You're not at all.
Yo.
You're not in the business. Ralph, what about these people? And apparently there are thousands of people whose day is filled with commenting on pictures of celebrities and criticizing the way they look. What about those
brother.
People?
Look, we were just talking last hour. Ariana Grande's fans are threatening the band Safia with death threats because they said, hey, her video looks a lot like our video we put out last year. Death threats.
Yeah.
The internet is a scary, dangerous place.
Yeah.
However, look at what I do 5 times a morning. I just come on here and I just bust people's balls. I just make fun of celebrities and news stories. So am I any better than these people? Can I truly point at them and say they're bad when I'm out here cracking wise at the cost of celebrities?
Have you threatened anyone's life?
Not recently.
Okay.
Well, Chelsea Handler, I think.
The murder button.
But other than that. So I don't know. How do I point fingers when I'm probably part of the problem?
Well, so at least you're putting your name on it, though.
Put my name on it!
When I hosted the after show for Sons of Anarchy, they said, do you want us to put your Twitter up? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, can you take criticism? I said, yeah, I'm pretty used to that. That's good. But they were all worried because people can be super mad.
And look, we get our shots here on this little rinky-dink radio show we do.
Yeah.
Imagine if it was nationwide, the amount of crap we would get from people. But I think to a certain extent, that's part of the deal. Because you're a fool if you think everybody's going to like you.
Right.
You're a fool.
No, I know. I agree.
And look, you get a ton of praise and really nice things that people say about us, too. So if you're going to put a lot of stock in the bad, you got to put as much stock in the good or just ignore it all.
Yeah. Plus, I earn most of the negativity that I get.
Absolutely. Because really, Kevin!
They're usually right. If I find the criticism funny enough, I retweet it.
Honey Boo Boo may be back on television.
All right. This is a disturbing trend.
Now, when last we visited this story,
their show on TLC was canceled back in October because, you know, how it is that Mama June was dating a convicted child molester who apparently had molested one of her own children and maybe has sired another. You know how
it
is.
And it seemed best to maybe not support them and put them on TV.
Right. But what if 4 or 5 months go by and America forgets and then you start pitching a show where Honey Boo Boo and her family move to Beverly Hills?
Is child molester coming with them?
Well, producers apparently are saying they would like Mark McDaniel, the convicted sex offender, not to participate in the series.
I got to be honest, that seems like a deal breaker for me. Yes or no?
But Kevin, they're going to be in Beverly Hills. It's going to be funny because they don't belong there, and they're going to be, you know, having chickens and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
They're going to be eating cheese balls.
Right.
And they'll probably have a limo.
Right.
Look, I can't figure out how
I don't think there's
anything. Can there be people who need more of the Honey Boo Boo story on their TV? I mean, haven't we gotten what we're going to get out of her?
Yes. And really quickly, I wish I had more time for the story, but I'm running short. Fascinating, in-depth, behind-the-scenes story tweeted yesterday by Norm Macdonald about the Saturday Night Live 40th anniversary special. Lots of cool insights, largely about him and his son and the experience of seeing all those stars backstage. But fascinating that he was largely responsible for putting together the Celebrity Jeopardy segment. And you know at the end where we said, well, they kind of got crazy with all the people coming out and doing all those celebrity impressions, kind of ran amok and ran a little long?
Right.
The payoff was supposed to be that Eddie Murphy was going to do Bill Cosby in the video Daily Double and do that thing where he's making the cocktail.
Is that right?
And he said that would have brought the house down and all the celebrity impressions would have been forgiven because the Shaggy Dog aspect of all of those impressions would have led up to a giant payoff of Eddie Murphy doing his genius Bill Cosby impression.
Interesting.
At the 11th hour, Murphy said, no, I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to kick a man while he's down, so I'm not going to do the impression. So Kenan Thompson stepped in and did it instead. It wasn't obviously not the payoff that they would have gotten with Eddie Murphy showing up on that. So did not pay off as much as they would have liked. But apparently a lot of that show was being tinkered with and thrown together right up to showtime at the last minute. But interesting stuff.
Eddie Murphy seems just everything I saw, his interview beforehand and when he came out and didn't do anything, he just seems like a dick.
Well,
he's just super unhappy.
Norm Macdonald talks about the fact that he is a rock star, even in a room of rock stars, and how he doesn't crave the laughs, doesn't crave the approval of anybody, and just walks in there marching to his own drummer. So, you know.
But if you're going to come on the show, maybe do something. He just came out and said thanks.
Well, I hear you.
That was weak.
Bill Murray almost didn't participate either because he was golfing.
He was at Pebble Beach.
Yeah. So they didn't know if he was going to make it. Fascinating stuff. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jeff Daniels, one of my favorite actors. Boy, just brilliant in the newsroom and almost everything he does, except for those Dumb and Dumber movies. He is 60
was
years
inexplicable,
old
today. That last one.
That was inexplicable. Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, is 56 years old. Singer Seal is 52. Benicio Del Toro is 48 years old. Haley Duff turns 30 years old. Victoria Justice is 22. And our own sweet Aisa, the marketing director here at K-Rock, who we love and we work with, and she puts together all our big events.
She's crazy.
From Winnie Rose to Acoustic Christmas to our April Foolishness comedy show.
Crazy.
Aisa is an integral part of the operation here at K-Rock, and we love her and we wish her happy birthday, even though she's crazy. Aisa is crazy! Crazy! I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:08.
Based right here in Southern California, our friend Jim Rome broadcasts nationwide on more than 240 radio stations, including 9 to noon on AM 980, The Beast. Jim joins us every Thursday right about this time here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a quick check. How are you, my friend?
Kevin, Bean, Bean, Kevin. I'm awesome. What's up, guys?
Well, there's a lot of stuff that's up right now, Jeb. Very little of it has to do with actual play on a field or a court. A couple of great interviews this week that I want your read on. First of all, the Kobe Bryant sit down with GQ, I thought was fascinating. I don't think I learned anything about Kobe. I didn't know, but he's more Kobe than ever before right now. What did you think of the interview?
Such a good take on your part. I love it. I love it. I mean, the guy is spitting straight fire, which I love because nowadays, guys don't say jack. Marshawn Lynch, for instance, goes out of his way to say, I'm not going to tell you guys anything. And all of a sudden now Kobe's telling us everything. Nobody ever says anything anymore, and this guy's never been more interesting, which I respect. I've never found the guy more compelling than he is right now. I love it. I love his act right now.
The person who wrote the article did the interview with Kobe for GQ said, look, you keep saying you want to – the only reason you haven't retired is because you want to win another championship. The Lakers aren't making the playoffs this year. They're probably going to be terrible again next year. Why do you keep doing it? That's the one answer that he gave that rang a little bit false with me, where he said, I think we can build a championship team next year and we can win. Where's that coming from?
Can I tell you something? He doesn't think that. He doesn't think that. Let's not confuse what he's saying with what he thinks. What the guy really wants to do is go out on his own terms. I think he wants to come back next year and be effective, play the entire year, earn that 25 mil. I mean, really earn it and go out on his own terms and not go out in the middle of the year in a meaningless game against New Orleans. But let me tell you something. This guy knows exactly what time it is. He knows they suck. He knows they're not going to be good anytime soon. He just can't come right out and say it. But he knows. But Kobe knows what's going on.
It's sort of weird that finishing the season and not going into the playoffs and championship is any better than now. I mean, it's really not much different.
No, I think that he needs to go out on his own terms. For instance, what if everything breaks absolutely perfectly? Say he comes back and say they can convince somebody to actually take some of their money in the offseason, and he's healthy and Julius Randle is healthy, and they play crappy enough to get that top five pick. If everything's perfect, maybe they make the playoffs. So let's just forget about this nonsense about them competing for a championship. I think the guy just wants to go out on his own terms, and I've got no issue with that.
Here's my favorite quote from the GQ piece. The reporter asks about the report, you know, people's criticism that Kobe shoots too much. And how many games, Kevin, have you watched where you've just, it's driven you crazy?
There's two things that drive me crazy. One is that Kobe shoots too much. Two is when he passes to somebody else that can't make a basket. So then I go, well, why doesn't Kobe just shoot that?
Kobe says, quote, I've shot too much from the time I was 8 years old, but too much is a matter of perspective. Some people thought that Mozart had too many notes in his compositions. Let me put it this way. I entertain people who say I shoot too much. Going back to Mozart, he responded to critics by saying there were neither too many notes nor too few. There were just as many as necessary. Is that a legitimate comparison to compare yourself to Mozart's music, do you think, Jim?
Well, Mozart used to compare himself to Kobe all the time. It's like, hey, man, why do you write so many notes? I don't know. Why does Kobe shoot so much? Kobe, he's just a different cat, all right? He's just a different twisted genius. He sees the world a different way. He's playing a different game. Look, Kobe's going to Kobe. He's going to shoot. You think he's going to be a facilitator? He'll pass when he sees an open man, but you better make that shot or you're not going to see the ball again. This is what this guy's done. This is why he's one of the best ever. He's got five rings. You think now you're going to change the spots on that dog?
Yeah.
He ain't changing for anybody.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right.
I always feel like,
I like that Mozart stuff. He should mix in Beethoven more often.
Let's switch topics to another all-star who's got some championship rings, who's in the news. Alex Rodriguez has begun his apology tour. And I guess I kind of forgot that he was coming back. He's been gone from baseball so long after being banned for, what, 211 games for the PEDs that I thought, oh, maybe he was done. But he plans to return and play. How do you think he'll be received in the league?
Total Delta Bravo. Total Delta Bravo. You know what that is, guys?
No,
Delta Bravo?
That?
That's radio friendly for D-bag.
Ah.
Delta
it.
Bravo.
Yep. I like it.
Normally I would say that America is the most forgiving nation in the world, especially if you're famous. You say you're sorry, you mean it, you keep moving, everybody will forgive and forget, except with this guy. I'm actually bent that he apologized. I wish he hadn't. Because it's not the first time, it's not gonna be the last. I don't want to hear this guy's voice. I don't want to see his face or his cursive. Stop cheating. Stop lying. Stop being a bag and stop coming off like a 10-year-old. No, nobody's going to be happy to see him.
Did he think writing a handwritten letter would make a difference? Like it's from a real dude, although it looks like a 10-year-old?
Real dumb. Real dumb. I mean, you know why that guy reads and sounds like a 10-year-old? Because he's got the maturity, intellect, and the self-confidence of a 10-year-old. I mean, this guy is a bag. I mean, why does he do anything? Everything he does backfires. It's a terrible look. It's not going to work. The guy needs to go away. If he makes it through spring training without getting hurt and having to be shut down altogether, I'll be shocked.
You think the Yankees are making a mistake by not releasing him and holding to his contract and continuing to have him play?
Yeah, trust me. They deep down, they hope he gets hurt. And they can just take the insurance money and keep moving. But if they're on the hook for $61 million from this guy, you might as well try and get something out of him.
Wow.
And the really sad thing about it is they're that bad. Offensively, if this guy can hit his weight, it's actually going to be a positive thing for them. So yeah, they don't need that circus. They'd love to get rid of him. But for $20 million a year, you might as well try and get something out of him.
Jim, we haven't been talking to you in a baseball season before. I'm so excited that pitchers and catchers are on the field in Florida and Arizona right now. Do you have any thrill of the game or no?
No, I love baseball. I love baseball. I'm not as pumped as you are that pitchers and catchers are reporting.
Well, it just means we're getting closer. That's
Bean
all.
Bean gives us a day-by-day account of what's going on.
Bean, what is that, man? What is that? Now, you know what? I'm team content. You guys know that. I need things to talk about, so we're kind of in a dead period right now. So as long as guys report and there are things to talk about, I do like that. But now I'm a baseball guy. I'm not one of those guys who's like, it's slow, it's boring, put a clock on it. I love the game, and I'm glad they're there. I'm not as happy as you are, Bean, but I'm glad they're back.
We did a little basketball and a little baseball. Let's go out on a little basketball because we are at the NBA trade deadline. A lot of people disappointed with what's available for Pickens this year. What are you interested in or excited about or looking to see how it plays out?
Yeah, be honest, have either one of you guys ever heard of Goran Dragic before this morning?
I have not. I mean, in the last couple of days, there's been talk about him, but I didn't know about him before this.
Nice player.
Is he the biggest name?
Nice player, but the fact that he is the biggest name at the trade deadline tells you all you need to know about this trade deadline. Goran Dragic, nice player. And if the next question is, do the Lakers have any shot at getting Goran Dragic? I'm going to say no. They just don't have enough to put together to get this guy out of Phoenix. They want draft picks. They want players. Nobody has, or the Lakers have nothing that anybody wants except the picks, which they'll keep. So, no, this is not going to be a very exciting deadline at the draft.
So it's going to be, what, noon today? 12 noon?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, we'll be counting up till noon with our friend Jim Rome on the radio on the Beast AM 980 starting at 9 o'clock this morning. Don't forget the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Network weekday afternoons at 3 and Jim Rome on Showtime. New episodes air every month. We'll do it next Thursday, sir. Thanks for the time.
Best promotion ever. See you guys Thursday.
Thank you, Jim. I know it's hard to keep up with all the new TV. It seems like every time you turn around, something else is debuting. So we do the best we can to draw your attention to the shows that look the most promising. And this is one of them debuting Sunday night, March the 1st at 10 on CBS. It is called Battle Creek, and one of the stars of the show, Dean Winters, in studio with us right now on the
Good morning.
Show. Hey, Dean, how are you, man?
How you doing, Bean?
People raving about this Battle Creek, first of all. Congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you for
having
me.
This pedigree, a show that is produced by Vince Gilligan, who, of course, we know from all the way back to The X-Files and Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, and David Shore, who created House. So you see a pedigree like that, and you're like, I'm in, right?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say no to that. If you do, it's pretty much career suicide. So, you know, Breaking Bad was an okay show, right? I mean, so...
Yeah, that was all right.
When I saw the script last year and it said... created by Vince Gilligan and then written by David Shore. I was like, really? Yeah. So it was.
And
it was,
directed by Bryan Singer, the first episode.
Who did the Usual Suspects, which is really one of my favorite movies of all time. So it was, you know, I flew out here and I met them. It's hard to get me out of New York City. I'm a homeboy. I was born and raised in the city. And But, you know,
I hear you've been trash talking California. Is that true?
I never trash talked California. I made the mistake of saying that LA was soul crushing, but I didn't.
You didn't mean in a bad way.
No, I didn't mean that in a bad way. I meant that in the best possible way. No.
Look, a lot of people agree with you.
No, it was, you know, it was for me, it was because I love LA, but for me, I came out here for 6 months and it was like being thrown into a cold river naked. You know, it was a culture shock, but I do really enjoy it out here. I want to clear that up. So
now you started your career, you mentioned. You're a New Yorker. You started your career on NYPD Blue and Homicide and those types of things, right?
Yeah.
And did you move to LA because you got a show out there?
No. So I've pretty much done my whole career out of New York. I did the Terminator series out here about 8 years ago, but everything I've done has been in New York. And like I said, last January, it was so cold last year. And I got you know this call to come out here and meet with David and Bryan Singer, and so this job got me out here. But I still live in New York, and it was like a 6 month location. You know?
Gotcha. Yeah. Now most people if they don't recognize the name Dean Winters, most people I would assume it probably used to be Oz,
and then
it was 30 Rock, and now it's probably Allstate Insurance, right?
Yeah, it's Mayhem.
It's like, he's Mayhem.
You're Mayhem.
Yeah, my mom.
You're a terrifying person.
My mom calls me Mayhem. I can't get a date. I mean, you know. But no, it's been like seriously like that. This job has been like a roller coaster ride, a good one. It's such a great job. So.
Let's talk about Mayhem for just a second
because
lots of people take commercials and it raises their profile. I mean, here's a perfect example.
Yeah.
J.K. Simmons, who anyone who ever goes to the movies or watches TV has known about this guy forever as a great actor. Now he's probably going to win an Oscar this weekend.
Definitely. Yeah.
But it was doing his nationwide ads that all of a sudden every single person in the world was like, oh, I know that.
Well, dude. You know, it's funny. He actually called me. He called me. He's like, he goes, you know, I think it's Farmers. Is it Farmers or Nationwide?
Maybe it's Farmers. Maybe you're right. Yeah.
He called me. He's like, he goes, yeah. He goes, you know, I got offered this Farmers insurance thing, and I want to know, how's the Allstate job? I go, take it. take it.
So what's that been like for you when you started playing Mayhem?
It's been amazing. You know, when the first week that we shot seven spots, and three of them were too violent. They actually never showed them. We've done.
Yeah, Mayhem's a dick.
Yeah, he's a dick. can you say dick? This is amazing.
I want to see those three. Those are the only three I want to see.
No, there's seven of them now. There's seven of them that they won't release, and I'm trying to get them to release them. But no, so the first week when we were making this, I was like, well, this is freaking crazy. Like, who's going to, you know.
It's awfully dark for a TV commercial.
It's really dark, but, you know, there's like a real kind of wink-wink there. And honestly, to make this making these commercials is seriously the most fun I've ever had. I mean.
Did you ever think you would say that?
No, I never, you know, I actually passed on the job when I first got offered it because my smart ass line was I became an actor so I wouldn't have to put on a suit and sell insurance. Like, that's what I told everyone. And I almost missed like the biggest boat of my life. You know what I mean? And luckily my manager, Bill Butler in New York and Sandra Chang, they basically put a gun to my head and I took the job. And like I said, it's been the best. I think it's been 4 years now that we've been doing this.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Is that why you got Battle Creek? Do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, I know that Vince Gilligan was a big fan of Oz. But, you know, let's face it, Oz was 12 years ago. So yeah. I think the most relevant thing for them to see me in was Mayhem. And it's funny because on Battle Creek, I don't know if this just follows me around, but on Battle Creek, every episode, I'm getting the crap kicked out of me.
Yeah, it sort of does seem like that's your lot in life.
I get shot. I get attacked by Rottweilers. I get beat up by a giant. I mean, it's like every episode I'm in hair and makeup getting bandaged and bruised. And I just think this is following me around.
So. You've played a lot of cops over the years,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How is Detective Russ Agnew different from others you played?
Well, he's like the first cop I've played that really has like a lot of heart and just really seems to be a good guy. Not that I've played bad cops, but I did the math. I've played five cops and every single cop has been a completely different guy. This guy's like from the Midwest. You know, he's not like a New York City bad boy. He's not any of those things that I've played before. There's a lot of heart with this guy. But he
sort of had the crap beaten out of him by life.
Yeah, no, he's a sad sack.
Right, yeah.
He's a sad sack and he's frustrated. And, you know, and it just doesn't help when Josh Duhamel enters the picture because this guy, you know, looks like a Calvin Klein model rower, like Zeus God. And it's just like all of a sudden this world that I'm living in Battle Creek where I'm trying to make this industrial industrial town that's just taking a hit. I'm trying to make it a better place to live, and I can't do it because our department's just like – it's moronic. And then all of a sudden Josh comes in. So it just – you know, you've seen it. It makes for a great relationship between the two of us, and that's where David Shore really shines is in the I mean, I think banter is an okay word to use. In the banter between Josh and I and then the other characters, it's like the writing is really different on this show. You know, it's a buddy cop show about two cops that can't stand each other.
Right.
So I've never seen that before. It's like if Starsky and Hutch hated each other. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
but yeah. let me just say one more thing, and then we need to take a break. And that is that it doesn't – when I first started watching it, I thought, okay, here's an old guy that's been beaten up. Here's a new guy that plays by the rules. And they're the odd couple.
Yeah.
But you're right a lot of times, and then he's right a lot of times. Yeah. And it sort of surprises you both that the other one's right. I think there's more to it than just that odd couple.
No, exactly. And I think the beauty of this relationship is that at the end of the day, we're both extremely similar, and we both have the same objectives, but we just don't trust each other. And I hope that the show continues to do that if we go into a second season, because for me, like, Cheers kind of lost it a little bit when Diane and Sam hooked up. So I want to make sure that Josh and I never hook up.
Never hook up. I think that's good. I think that's good. Although he's so dreamy, it's hard not to.
He's such a dreamboat, you know what I mean? Isn't he?
Oh, my God. He's so dreamy. Yeah. All right. Actor Dean Winters is here. We're talking about the new show called Battle Creek. It's one of the best reviewed shows of the new season. It airs on Sunday night, March 1st at 10 on CBS. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. I'm sorry anyone had to hear that.
Don't move to the East Coast.
Don't move to the East Coast.
It's
not
a
right
nightmare.
Now. It's 1 degree right now.
When do you have to go back to New York?
I'm going back right after this radio show. I know.
I left
New York on Monday, and it was the coldest day in the history of New York City. It was -1 degree, and outside of my building, it was -21 wind chill. I mean, it was obscene.
I feel guilty that it's sunny in 78 all week.
Yeah, I know.
But you're leaving that.
But I'm leaving that. But
that's rough.
That's a bad choice right there.
That is the voice of actor Dean Winters here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know him from lots of stuff, and you'll know him soon from Battle Creek, which debuts Sunday night, March 1st at 10 o'clock on CBS. You, by the way... I'm sure that you've taken some roles that you wish you didn't have to. I'm sure you've been in a few things that you're not proud of. But you have a pretty good nose for quality. I mean, I look at the stuff. I mean, like John Wick, that movie. Everybody loved that movie.
Wasn't that cool? You know,
that was really good.
I love that movie.
You were on Rescue Me for its whole run, for instance. You know, 30 Rock. I mean, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I mean, it seems like either you've got a great agent or you've really got an eye for quality, my friend.
You know, I hired this homeless guy. He reads all my scripts and
excellent.
He chooses them for me.
He's a good dude.
We want to talk more about Battle Creek, but I have to ask just because I'm such a huge 30 Rock fan.
Yeah, of course.
Tell me about being Dennis Duffy on that show. Was it as much fun as I want it to be?
I mean, that job was so much freaking – I can say freaking, right?
Yes, you can.
That job was so much freaking fun, and I'll tell you a funny story. I got the call to go audition for it, and I was terrified because no one ever let me be funny. And so I go to the audition. It was at 30 Rock in New York City, and I open the door, and I sign in, and I look in the waiting room, and it's every funny guy – 40 years old in New York City, and every funny guy. And I looked at everyone, and I walked out, and I left. And I
literally turned around and gave up. I left. I'm out.
I went into Central Park, and my agent was in Europe, and his assistant called me. He goes, "Hey, how did 30 Rock go?" I go, "Hey, man, it went great." I'm not sure that, you know, I'm going to get the job, but it went really good. He's like, "That's funny because they're waiting for you right now." And I go,
imagine being your representative.
Yeah. And this is the assistant. And I go, "Well, I'm not going back, man. I'm not getting this job." He goes, "Listen, if you don't go back, we're going to drop you." I go, "You can't drop me. You're the assistant." So this kid threatened me, and I went back and begrudgingly went in there. But the guy who was directing was this cat named Adam Bernstein, who I knew from Oz, and he really kind of walked me through it. And Tina took a shot with me because, you know, I didn't have anything in my past that could tell people that I could do this job, and it turned out to be honestly like one of the greatest things that ever happened to me. So,
it must have been so much fun. I mean, just that to be able to say that dialogue just as an actor must have been such a treat for you.
I mean, I would say did that just come out of my mouth? I mean, I really had some of the greatest. I think I really honestly, and I'm not being arrogant, I think I had some of the greatest lines in the history of television on that show. And I mean, and everyone did.
And you walked out on that.
Was that I
you walked out.
I know. You know what? I mean, can I say I was a pussy? Can I say that?
Of course.
I mean, I looked in this room. It's like if you were going to go like try out for a basketball team and you walked in there and there's like LeBron and
yeah.
and like, you know, everyone. It's like I walked in. I was just like, I'm not going to get this job.
I'm not even going to make the bench.
I don't want to waste anyone's time, you know? And so, but this kid, his name was Kite. He was an agent in New York and he's an agent in New York now. And he threatened me. And that's and I got this job because I was threatened. So
that's hilarious.
Your instincts you seem poor. Yeah. I got to be honest. Yes.
You want to take that back?
You also said in a recent interview, Dean, that Tina was also one of the people who was there for you after quite a long period of illness.
Yeah, I checked out for a minute. I had a rough ride in an ambulance, and I got my clock stopped. And I
when he says he got his clock stopped, yeah. kids, he yeah. means he was declared legally dead.
Yeah, and I was dead for 3.5 minutes. And you know, I spent like 2 months in ICU, and then I spent literally 2 years like getting amputations. It was a freaking nightmare. And I really I was told I wasn't going to walk again. And you know, I lost I was just like it was like as bad as it gets.
Wow.
And I remember Tina was super cool with me, and she emailed me and she said, listen, she goes, whenever you get out of the hospital and you want a job, you just call me.
Wow.
So I got out of the hospital after like my 7th amputation, and I called her. And literally 4 days later, I was on the set of 30 Rock, and I had 2 casts on my legs and 2 casts on my hands. And she put work gloves on me, and they shot me from the waist up. And she instilled this confidence in me that I had lost in the hospital. And
just because she believed that you could do it.
Yeah, and I'm forever grateful to her, and I owe her everything. And then after that, when I was in the hospital, I was having – I was having my 11th surgery, and Allstate came to me with a job, and that's when I gave that smart-ass comment. But Allstate kind of reinvigorated that. They took what Tina did a step further, and so
wow, you're very lucky on so many levels.
I'm so blessed, blessed. Yeah.
And it was a bacterial infection. Is that what caused the original illness?
Well, I lost my spleen when I was a kid, and then I would get a vaccination every 3 years to keep me from getting strep pneumonia. And my doctor's nurse, I wish I could say his name on the air, my doctor's nurse forgot to give me my shot, and I just happened to catch strep pneumonia from a fan. I was signing an autograph for him on 8th Avenue, and he was coughing all over me. I'm like, yo, are you okay?
Oh, no.
And he goes, my doctor tells me I have pneumonia, but I'll be all right. And 2 days later, I died in the middle of Central Park.
Oh my God.
I was like, thank you very much.
Dean, does it change? We've had this conversation with our listeners before. People have been in a situation where you were, where they were declared dead.
Yeah.
Did it change your life?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I don't want to sound corny, and it's not like I feel like I have to say this. But in some weird way, like the 17 surgeries and 2 years in the hospital and all that, just like hitting the pause button on life, it's the best thing that ever happened to me, because it gave me a fresh POV that I was – I got to be honest with you. In 2009, I was lacking that. I had gotten a little jaded, and I wasn't really super happy with my career. And I'm the happiest I've ever been right now in my entire life. So for that, I really do think – you know, because
that's beautiful.
If you go through something like that and you don't – come out of it a better person, then you should just stay dead.
Just stay dead.
You know what I mean?
We don't need you back.
Yeah.
Did you see anything while you were dead?
You know, it's so funny. Like that's the question that everyone has. I'll tell you what happened. Was in the ambulance. There was a lot of noise going on. My girlfriend was in the front seat. She was screaming. The driver was cursing because Central Park was packed. They couldn't get through the park on time. And the other guy was on – the paramedic was on top of me. And he was
then working. You hit Bono on his bicycle?
Yeah, we hit Bono. I mean, it was – but – and the guy's on top of me into the phone. He's like, we're losing him. I'm like, yo, I'm right here, man. I can hear you.
You can hear him saying we're losing him.
Yeah. And that's, okay. That's like the worst thing you want to hear a paramedic say. And then all of a sudden, everything went silent. But I could see everyone's mouths moving. And I could see the lights reflecting off of the tunnel in the park. And
oh my God.
And then I heard a voice say, come with me. And I don't know what it was. I don't know who it was. Maybe I imagined it. But I heard this really dark voice say, come with me. And apparently I went with him, because that's the exact moment that I passed away.
That's weird.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
And then what – do you remember the first thing – when you came back?
When I came back, I woke up in ICU and I was frozen solid, and I was intubated because I was in a coma. And I came out of the coma, and there was 7 people at the foot of my bed, and they were wearing contamination suits with long riot shields.
You do not want to see that.
Because nobody knew what was wrong with me.
Wow.
And in the reflection of the shield, I saw a black pumpkin, and I didn't realize that black pumpkin was my face. And I thought that I died and I was in space. and that these were all spacemen. And my first
that
thought
makes
was,
sense.
My first thought was, hold on a second, I'm in space and I'll get a spacesuit. That was my first thought. Yeah,
that is an unbelievable story.
It was my family and my agent were at the foot of my bed, and you know, and it was a miracle. Wow. It was a miracle I came out of the coma.
Now, are you likely? And I know we got to wrap this up here, D. But are you likely to be healthy now for the rest of your life?
Oh yeah, no.
Continue to get your shot.
Oh yeah, no, I'm good. I'm more healthy now than I've been in my entire life. You know, and you know, there was a period there when I. You know, I wasn't able to like do my thing, but I've been doing my thing right now. You know, I buy box every day in Brooklyn, and I just, you know, I've gotten my swagger back a little bit. You know, I mean, it's a little rough when you're missing a couple of toes, but
sure.
It's not the same swagger, but it
works.
Let's
play a quick clip before we say goodbye to Dean Winters here on the Kevin Bean Show. The new show is called Battle Creek. We really do recommend you tune in. It's Sunday night, March 1st at 10 on CBS. Now, your cop here, Detective Russ Agnew, has the worst name ever,
by the way.
It's not good.
I'm not getting hair ever, too,
while we're at it, by the way, Dean.
Thank you. He has a
particular style on the street where the way he likes to interrogate people to get results, and it's in such contrast to the by the book that Josh Duhamel's character does. But this is pretty funny. This is you interrogating somebody on the street that you know has some information for you.
Okay, cool.
I'm not a snitch.
My name is Teddy the Snitch.
My name is not Teddy the Snitch.
Yeah, but we call you that. And we call you that for a good reason, because your name is Teddy, and we pay you to snitch. You brought us all the way out here. Which one is he?
Teddy, if you're not comfortable... It's okay.
Seriously?
He's a short Hispanic.
They're all Hispanic.
No, they're not. That's racist.
How's that racist?
They are.
I'm pretty sure the one on the right is Persian.
No, he's not.
That is a scene from Battle Creek, Sunday night, March 1st at 10 on CBS. Dean, I know you don't like being in L.A., but next time you're back, come in and stop by and see us, all right?
I've had a great time in L.A. this time. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:56.
Thursday morning means our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us in about 10 minutes or so. I don't want to...
He is a real doctor.
He might not be a doctor. I have not seen the paperwork either. I don't want to alarm anybody, but there is a new superbug in town that will kill you.
That's true.
So we'll talk to Dr. Drew about that, plus hook you up with Fall Out Boy tickets at the Hollywood Bowl. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
I'm not a real doctor.
He is. I think he's a real doctor.
Is Dr. Pepper a real doctor?
I think no on that one.
Well, then, same thing.
Okay. I don't think same thing. I think it's possible that Dr. Drew is an actual doctor.
What kind of doctor has one name? What's wrong with you?
Dr. Phil, and we all know how legit...
Boom! See, that's what I'm saying. Dr. Smith? Oh, the pain, dear boy. Oh, shut up, you bubble-headed booby. Oh, the pain.
Good reference.
Thanks. Dave the King of Mexico likes that.
Does he?
He's a huge Lost in Space fan. Did you know that?
Are you pulling my leg?
Ask him.
He's a huge Lost in Space fan?
Dave, do you love Lost in Space?
I love it, Ralph, and thanks so much for getting me the whole series.
You're welcome.
In my lunch pail. It's
You're
awesome.
Welcome.
What's happening?
He loves Lost in Space.
Oh.
I don't know the answer. I didn't follow him growing up. I don't know when he first fell in love with Lost in Space.
Not acceptable.
It is acceptable.
All right.
All right, let's talk about show business, shall we? Hey, congratulations to my buddy Mark Paul Gosselaar and his lovely wife on their brand new baby. They've got two under two now. God bless them. It's not easy. Brand new new daughter named Lachlan. And she's adorable. And he posted a picture up on Instagram yesterday. So congratulations to those guys. They're a great couple. And they've got a great little family. And I'm just happy for them. So good for them. Speaking of babies and people that I know in show business, this story is crazy. I don't know if you heard about this or not, but you know Lorenzo Lamas?
Yes.
My friend who was in the most recent Joe Schmo with me. He was recently on Celebrity Apprentice. He's got a daughter, Shayna Lamas, and she's been on a bunch of reality shows and stuff, too. A lovely girl. She and her husband, Nick Ritchie, had a baby, tried to have a baby a year ago, and she was in serious trouble. She had internal bleeding.
Oh.
She had a rupture in her uterus, and they lost the baby, sadly. And they were told by doctors that because of what happened that she couldn't have children. She was devastated. So they found a surrogate who's willing to carry the baby for them. Not unusual until you realize that the surrogate is Lorenzo's wife, Shauna.
Really?
So Shayna Lamas's stepmother, Shauna, who's about her same age, is going to carry the baby for her and her husband, Nick. So my stepmother is my baby surrogate.
Wow.
On today's Geraldo.
So she's going to give birth to her own grandchild.
Yes.
How about that?
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
But kind of cool. I mean, if you're looking for somebody to be on your side and close with you and you know. And
somebody you can trust rather than a perfect stranger. Right, yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Why not?
See, that's why older actors should date younger women.
That's what I'm saying. Older actors should have young, second, third, fourth wives in Lorenzo's case. And because they come in handy to carry babies for your daughters that are roughly the same age as your wife.
Well played, sir.
Well played, indeed.
But I do feel kind of bad for Lorenzo Lamas' wife, though, because as she starts to put on the baby weight like you do, then he pulls out the pointer and then starts, is she hot or not?
Criticizing her about gaining weight. Reality show a long time ago. Are you hot or not is not a problem anymore.
Not going to be a thing. Okay.
Isn't it hard to imagine that was actually a show?
That was on TV.
Are you hot or not? Lorenzo Lamas would take a laser pointer and circle your cellulite.
I don't know, there's some cellulite right here.
Throw you off the stage.
That's a crazy show.
I never talked to him about that. We got to get him back on the phone and talk to him about that.
We really do.
That happened.
How was that ever a thing? How did anyone let that happen?
I don't know.
I think there are some times, and S My Dad Says is another one, where something is popular enough on the internet that somebody in Hollywood says, yes, make it a TV show.
A crueler
show. And Hot or Not was a huge site for a while.
A crueler show may not have ever existed.
There's never been a crueler show.
Yes. Huh. Hey, it looks like Taylor Swift and Kanye West have buried the hatchet. You see that picture of them at the Grammy Awards? Well, apparently they had dinner together in New York last Tuesday night. I can't imagine having dinner with Kanye West. That's a meal I would not enjoy.
It does seem like it would be all conversation about himself.
Yeah, I would just be staring at my steak, just looking down while he's telling me how great he is.
And I would also say that I am a fan of both of their artistry. I like both of their music. But I don't think there's any reason in a billion years why they should collaborate and work together. It just doesn't make any sense to me at all.
While we're talking about Taylor Swift, a pox on the person who told me this thing existed. Have you seen the bit they did on his show about them dancing for the fan cams at different New York City sports venues?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
Never have two more people been more annoying in one video segment.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
That was pretty annoying. Yeah. Saw it.
I can't unsee it now.
Yeah. You want to, but you can't.
I thought it was pretty entertaining.
She's a good dancer. It didn't move my needle one way or another, but I will say this.
Going back to our conversation
we had yesterday about how much Jimmy Fallon loves Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
You'll notice that he had Taylor Swift, arguably one of the biggest stars in the world, available to do a viral video, and he put himself in it.
Oh, yeah.
You'll notice always.
Oh, yeah. It's never not about him. Crazy.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Our buddy Aisa from here at K-Rock, our marketing director, the woman who puts all these amazing events together that we have each and every year. It's her birthday today. She's a sweetheart. We love her.
She's a little crazy. She is absolutely crazy. She's pretty crazy. Someone help us. Yes. Send us some help. She's crazy.
Victoria Justice is 22. Haley Duff is 30. Benicio Del Toro is 48 years old today. Seal is 52. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell turns 56 years old. Actor Jeff Daniels is 60. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin Abicho. Congratulations to Claudio Vergara from Los Angeles. Just got tickets to see Fallout Boy when they play Hollywood Bowl. And on the standby boarding list, we're going to do a drawing for a trip for two to see Fallout Boy in Tokyo, Japan.
That's pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet.
Could be the first person ever named Claudio to go to the country of Japan, too.
That's right.
So I hope he wins that. We'll do the grand prize drawing on the program tomorrow. Once a week, our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, co-host of Loveline here on K-Rock, and Dr. Drew On Call on HLN, joins us on the phone to talk about something of grave national importance. But before we get to that, Dr. Drew, I understand you have a complaint about doing the Loveline show here at K-Rock now. What's going on?
Well, no. It was pertinent to what you guys wanted to talk. It reminded me, or it occurred to me, because of the topic you guys wanted to discuss this morning.
Okay.
You guys, as usual, are having your somatoform reactions where you're preoccupied that some bacteria is going to arise from hell and eat you alive.
Oh, you mean we're preoccupied by the fact that we're all going to die?
This superbug is probably going to kill 50% of the people listening to this show right now.
The best thing I like about that organ play is that it just eats up time, so we don't have to continue to discuss this nonsense.
Wait, hold on a second. Haven't people already died as a result of this new superbug?
All right, so what people are talking about is this a bug that was colonizing a scope that was used to do a pancreatic procedure at UCLA.
Break it down so I can understand it, Doc.
You know when you have a colonoscopy or an endoscopy?
They
shove a tube down your throat.
Okay.
And in this particular case, they go all the way into the pancreatic duct, which is no longer outside your body. The inside of your stomach is actually outside your body. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but it's a tube. That's, you know, when you're in it, you're actually not in your body. But this procedure puts a little cannula up into the pancreas, and that's now inside your body. And so if you introduce bacteria into there, it's very, very dangerous. Well, they introduced a kind of a bacteria that is terribly, terribly resistant.
Sorry, terribly resistant.
And so some people died of this thing. But this has been, when I was a resident 30 years ago, we used to get Acinetobacter outbreaks. And they really only get into people that are already dying of sort of other things, like end-stage cancer or multi-system failure. If Bobby Christina gets this thing, it'll be bad news. And that's, in fact, what tends to take people like her. Resistant bugs.
You sound to have a very cavalier attitude about, lost a few people. A doctor, though, this has to be concerning to you.
What's concerning me, it's because of antibiotics, everybody. So stop using so much GD antibiotics. It's because the antibiotics cause bacteria to become resistant, and some of these nastier bugs in the Enterobacteriaceae category, which is the one that is affecting UCLA. And
are you seriously trying to dumb it down for me? Because I don't feel like you are. I would like you to try to dumb it down.
The bacteria like E. coli is in that category, are very nasty if they get in your body, and if they have been exposed to lots of antibiotics, the antibiotics stop working. How about that?
Okay, good.
You got it?
Yes.
And so this is a call to everybody to please stop using so damn many antibiotics every time you have a little virus, which, by the way, doesn't respond to antibiotics, or a little infection that will resolve on its own anyway. So please, just cool out with the antibiotics, and we won't have to worry about these superbugs, which, by the way, have been around for 30 years.
But so it sounds to me like you're also calling out your colleagues in the medical profession who are prescribing these antibiotics where they're not needed, right?
Well, of course. But I'm telling you, when patients come in and demand antibiotics, it takes a lot of energy to resist them, and often they'll go somewhere else until somebody gives it to them. So much like painkillers. But let me. Here's my complaint.
Right.
You want to worry about something?
Yes.
Jesus Christ, every time I walk in now Loveline is back at K-Rock, and we are delighted to be there, but every night when I walk in that front door, I'm almost knocked over by the smell of stool.
It's been that way for 10 years. Well, Welcome to our hell.
We just came back.
It's crazy. It has always smelled like that.
I thought there was a dead animal. I literally went out behind the building to look for the deer or something that must be decaying out there, because it will knock you off your feet. It's so bad. And God knows what's in that debris that you can get infected by. Huh?
Kevin, is this a result of the feral cats in the parking lot? Is that what's causing the smell?
I think there's some kind of an air duct that comes from the sewage. Listen to me. That comes from the
air duct smell.
That comes from the sewage of Los Angeles. Hey, hey!
The connection to hell. That's hell down there.
Who's the doctor here?
Well, Kevin, you've asked about this before. What's the solution for that? Because if it's been like that for 10 years, why haven't they been able to fix it?
I don't know, but it is nastiness, and we've all just learned that if you want to work here, you smell crap all day.
It really is. It's sewage that could not smell so bad. I honestly thought there was like a large animal decaying.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. I literally went around the side of the building. We had a whole conversation about it in the hall over there by the front of the lobby.
Oh, yeah.
There's got to be something dead around here because this is too much. This is too much.
There's a lot dead around here, Dr. Drew.
That's true.
Drew, you've been working on K-Rock for a long, long time through many facilities. You were with the station in Pasadena all those years in Burbank and now in Culver City. Is this the worst of all of them?
No, the building is lovely, but this is the first time I've ever literally almost lost my cookies walking in the front door.
That happens to us on a daily basis, and we complain and we complain and we complain, and we realize nothing's going to happen. So
I think if we filibuster, if we just talk about it constantly on the radio, they'll be so angry with us for doing that. Eventually, they'll have to do something.
Yeah, it does. It does seem like we're not asking for too much. I think you're right.
Well, and it's you guys are worried about your health. You're worried about these resistant bacteria. You. First of all, you have a conduit to hell there. That's enjoy that.
It's a conduit to hell.
But besides that, you have a festering pool of Enterobacteriaceae. They're growing there. They're waiting for you, Kevin. They're going to come and infect you. So go take care of that.
That one didn't work for you. Can't you get, last question, Dr. Drew, and of course you can hear Dr. Drew on Loveline on K-Rock, Dr. Drew on call weeknights at HLN at 6, and then of course Dr. Drew on KABC with Mike Catherwood starting at noon. Can't you get the building condemned? Isn't there some sort of health code violation or something like that you can put into action with paperwork, Doc?
Don't tantalize like that. Don't tantalize me. That's sounding too good.
That would be awesome.
Maybe we can work our magic. I would never do that to the great administration of the world.
Well, it would force them into action. All right, Doc, thanks for your diagnosis on what bad shape we're all in. We appreciate the time, sir.
All right, guys. Bye.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat on a Thursday morning. What the hell's going on, Ralph?
Well, if you've made it this far, if you've lasted this far into the show, I want to give you a prize. The least I could do.
Yeah. We are at the 25-mile mark of a marathon right now.
Right, and I need a little incentive to cross the finish line. How about some passes to the K-Rock screening of Chappie?
Yay!
Chappie, the latest film from one of my favorite directors, Neil Blomkamp. He brings us Chappie, starring Dev Patel and Hugh Jackman and Sigourney Weaver and Charlton Copley, his longtime buddy. It's all about a near future where crime is patrolled by a police force made of oppressive mechanized police droids. So the revolutionaries, they steal one and they reprogram him to make him human, to feel and think for himself. And he is Chappie.
I am Chappie,
he says. Want to see this movie before anybody else? We're having a special screening on March the 4th at the Arclight Hollywood. And then the movies in theaters everywhere on Friday, March the 6th. So if you'd like to see Chappie now, call 1-800-520-1067. First six callers through at that phone number get passes to the K-Rock screening of Chappie.
I am not Chappie. A robot.
I'm a unicorn.
I am a unicorn. See, Chappie's smarter than that. He knows he's a damn robot.
He does.
Speaking of Neil Blomkamp, 20th Century Fox has just closed a deal with Neil to develop a new Alien movie.
What?
Another Alien movie.
District 9 was great.
It was. I liked Elysium, too. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Looks like he is going to be in charge of the next Aliens film. And word has it that it might star Sigourney Weaver. She may return to the franchise as well.
Hmm.
The new Alien takes place after the Prometheus sequel that we saw from Ridley Scott. So,
I'm not the hugest Alien fan in the world, but... what are your feelings on the franchise? Have some life left in it? Some places to go? You're excited about it?
I think it's been a while since we've seen...
It has, hasn't it?
Certainly that franchise, but that creature is one of the great horror creatures of all time. I mean, if they're going to bring back Godzilla and King Kong and all these other creatures, certainly they can bring back the Alien. Love that.
Yeah, that was gross.
It's awesome. It just all that goop.
Yep.
Pouring out of it. A lot of goop.
Got to get Gwyneth Paltrow in it.
Goop. That's right. She loves the goop. Robert Van Winkle's in trouble. You may not know that name. You may know him better by his nom de rap, Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice.
Ding, 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 ding.
Hit
ding,
it, Steve.
Ding, 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 ding.
Hit it, Steve. Ice, baby. There it is. Ice,
ice, baby. Steve is much shorter than he used to be.
That's not under pressure from Queen and David Bowie. No, because theirs went ding 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 ding. Mine goes ding 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 ding.
Total reinvention.
Total different. Not only did he steal that riff for his song, but apparently also stole some furniture, a pool heater, some bicycles, and other items from a vacant home in Florida. He was arrested by police in Palm Beach County for stealing stuff from a house. That was vacant, that was on the same block as the house he was renovating for his DIY network TV show, The Vanilla Ice Project.
How do you get caught stealing from a vacant house? Doesn't that seem like an easy mark?
Well, I'm sure there's people lived across the street or something who saw him dragging a sofa out of the back window. Maybe he said, well, that doesn't look right. But maybe the authorities should investigate the fact he's carrying two bicycles on his shoulders to his van.
Yeah.
Maybe how does anyone get caught robbing a house? Most homes are burglarized when no one's home, aren't they?
Yeah, but this is vacant. No one's living there. Seems like it's a little easier. I don't know, dude.
Kevin!
Girl!
How dare you? How dare you?
How dare you both?
How dare you ask us how dare you? Hey, are you familiar with Bill O'Reilly's best-selling books, The Killing series, The Killing franchise?
Yeah, he killed Lincoln, and then he killed Jesus, and then he killed Elvis. I don't remember who else. There's a bunch of them,
Killing
right?
Kennedy, Killing Lincoln, and Killing Jesus were all there best-selling books for Bill O'Reilly from Fox News.
Let me just clarify. He didn't kill any of them?
No, he wrote a book about their deaths.
All right, good.
A movie is being made from Bill O'Reilly's best-selling book, Killing Jesus, that will premiere on the National Geographic Channel on Palm Sunday, March the 29th. Just in time for Easter week. Heather Graham, not Heather Graham at all. Kelsey Grammer. Why would I say Heather Graham?
Why did you say Heather
with
Graham?
The name Kelsey Grammer is what I'm looking at. That is very strange. Kelsey Grammer will star as King Herod, True Blood Stephen Moyer as Pontius Pilate, and then Lebanese-American actor Haz Sliman will play Jesus. In O'Reilly's book, I don't know if it's going to be in the movie now, but in O'Reilly's book, it is Obamacare that kills Jesus.
Is that right?
Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
Wow. It's apparently his...
Change things up a bit.
His liberal attitudes that caused the death of Jesus. They may not reflect that in the feature film.
And Heather Graham, she plays Mary Magdalene? Or
come
does
on
it say?
Now!
That was fantastic.
That was great.
That was weird to look at that and see and have that name come
that
out.
That was almost heavy Bertation.
It was. Well, Grammer and Graham have some of the same letters in common.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but that's a me mistake. You don't want to be making a mean mistake.
No, because I would have said, hamburger helper. At least I got the words. I got the wrong words out, but at least I said words.
Yeah, but they were completely wrong.
But they were words.
All right. Can't argue that.
And Morena Baccarin. Oh, boy, do I love Morena Baccarin. You watching Gotham, by the way?
I am.
She's great on that. There's Dr. Leslie Tompkins.
She's great in everything.
She just got a big gig. She'll be playing Ryan Reynolds' love interest in the upcoming superhero movie Deadpool. Gina Carano is also in the cast, playing villain Angel Dust. And Ryan Reynolds, of course, returning as Deadpool in the standalone film. But Marina Baccarin just added to the cast. It's great news. Love that Gotham. Love her on it. Love Fish Mooney working with the patients down there. The people being raised for their... extra spare
for
parts
organs,
for their organs.
That's strong.
I am now the leader of all these people. And you will deal with me. I will take a meeting with the manager, but you will stay here with my family.
I don't know how they're going to possibly do a crossover episode between Gotham and Empire.
They have to, though.
But we definitely need Cookie from Empire.
There's a lot of acting.
Yep, going along with Jada Pinkett Smith there.
A lot of acting going on in those shows.
Yep.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Jeff Daniels is 60 years old today. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is 56. Seal is 52. Benicio Del Toro celebrates his 48th birthday. Haley Duff is 30. And Victoria Justice... she should be a superhero with a name like that.
Agreed.
She is 22 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We have the movie beat because it is Friday. Speaking of movies, we have Matt Achety from Rotten Tomatoes with an Oscar preview. We also have Jimmy Kimmel talking about his After the Oscars special. We have Fred Armisen talking about hosting the Independent Film Awards. We have Clark Duke in the studio talking about Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Dookie? We have Dookie on?
We do.
I love Dookie.
And Beer Mug Gets an A-Steam. So that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.